are you doing? Good morning, everyone. We'll begin, as is traditional, with our invocation. It is a distinct personal pleasure to be able to introduce to you Pastor Ricky Rush. He is a good friend. Pastor Rush is the pastor of Inspiring Body of Christ Church. That was a church that Pastor Rush began in 1990. Today it has over 10,000 members, and it is clearly not only an important congregation, but an important part of our community. Pastor Rush is in the midst of building a new church, literally right across the street in the city of Dallas, and it is a pleasure to have him. Pastor Rush also is very much involved in a number of different youth efforts throughout this community. His church has a school that is a very, very impressive school, and he's also been involved in the Mayor's Back to School Fair. That Mayor's Back to School Fair is tomorrow, August 7th, from 8 to 2 at Fair Park. Pastor Rush, we appreciate your involvement in that. For anybody that may be watching and still wants to pre-register for the Mayor's Back to School Fair, that will be today at City Hall, and then, of course, tomorrow will be the Back to School Fair. Last year, we had about 25,000 people. We expect to have about 50,000 people this year. It is a chance for those families that are below the poverty line to have an opportunity to provide their children with basic school supplies as well as health screenings and a number of other elements to get them started for a successful year of school. Pastor Rush, it's a pleasure being with you. The invocation. Please rise.
Thank you so much. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, we thank you this morning as you have provided for us a way and you have ordered our steps. And we thank you, Master, for what brings us here today, and that's caring about people, caring about life, caring about all of your creation. I thank you so much for giving us and our city leadership that listens and respects and honors you. And today, Master, we just pray that everything that is decided, everything that is discussed will be done decently and in order. And I thank you for a great day. In spite of all that may happen in this day, it's the day that you have created. And most of all, Lord, I thank you so much for any storms that we have, that we know sometimes those storms, they just push us into our destiny, into our futures. So thank you so much for all of our people that are here, for those that made it, those that are still on the way, and I thank you for the safety of this meeting today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Garcia heads up our public safety committee. Pastor Rush has over 300 individuals that sit on volunteers and patrol from his church. Dr. Garcia, would you like to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure, ma'am. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Thank you. Please. Oh, you're not done yet, Pastor Rush.
I'm going to have to repeat that prayer. Did we miss it or something?
I wanted to thank you, Matt Leppert. I wanted to offer a word of commendation to Pastor Ricky Rush. He is a tremendous force in this community. He and I are both what are called little Zanites. We come from under the great Reverend Dr. Zan Wesley Holmes Jr. Pastor Rush has taken his lessons seriously. He is a tremendous, tremendous preacher, but more importantly, he's a tremendous shepherd to the flock that he pastors. Whatever you ask Pastor Rush to do, Pastor Rush is first going to say, how does it affect my people? If he has a young boy who needs his attention, he will tell you, I'm very sorry, I cannot be at your city council meeting because I have a young man who needs my attention. That is a pastor's pastor, a true shepherd, one truly called by the Lord and who serves the Lord for the Lord's purposes. Pastor Rush, I publicly thank you. I'm glad to know you. I appreciate all that you do and glad to be in your presence. God bless you.
Wow, thank you.
Pastor Rush, go back.
Pastor Rush, also, Von Seal, you spoke most elegant about Pastor Rush, you know. Matter of fact, he is in District 8. I had to bring it up. The greatness. But also, Pastor Russ, you know, number one, this is a pastor who cares about the community. Number one, the community is first, you know. When Mayor Lepper and I went to the church with a volunteer police, he personally volunteered to go out there and walk the street and make sure that our street is safe. And by doing that, Pastor Russ, we salute you, we bless you, just keep up the great work. And also, he's building a mega church in this race, and also going to be very economic development for the whole city of Dallas. Thank you.
And that's appropriate. That's absolutely right. Mr. Carroway?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I want to say thanks to our to my colleague, Councilwoman Hill, and then to Councilman Atkins. And the church is in District 8, and that's fantastic. But he grew up in District 4. Now, that's number one. Yeah, down the street from my house. Let me be real clear with that. Yeah. He's moving on up. Okay. Let me just say that, Pastor Rush, it is certainly an honor having you here, and the accolades already bestowed upon you are befitting of the service and the commitment that you have to our community. It's just been so very fantastic to know how you challenge people and you challenge youngsters. I attended one of the commencement services that you gave when you did not just stand at the podium. You came out and interacted with the kids that were graduating. The fact that you challenged the parents in your church to sign an agreement to allow you to either have the opportunity to mentor the children or pick another church, that's pretty bold. But that's the sincerity that this pastor has to our community. I just want to say personally, you know, where you and I are and how far we came along. I appreciate it. I can't wait to see the big church with the aquarium in it, with the big sharks and all of the different attributes that's going to take place. Sharks, and when you walk into the church, you got to go underwater. And the sharks will be swimming over you. I hope I'm not doing what I'm not doing. But this is the vision and the commitment that he has. And on Friday nights, and they go out and they patrol along with our police, the apartments and the areas of need. And that is something that I would encourage others to follow in your footsteps, other ministers and other churches. That you certainly are leading the way. I gave you the CD. I want you to start playing this at the church. This is the new Pull Your Pants Up CD, so you know that. The grandma version is what I want you to play. But just wanted to make sure that we keep everything on point. Thank you, Pastor Rush. All right.
Mr. Ronald?
Well, Dwayne, he might have grown up in District 4, but his family lives in District 2. And I will say that his family was very instrumental in our neighborhood cleanup in Arlington Park. And I didn't mention you. I really appreciate you and Dave Newman that's in the Simmons Corridor area. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Pastor Rush, again, thank you for everything you do in this community. You do an awful lot. We appreciate it.
That's very kind.
Thank you, Pastor. With that, we have a couple of special recognitions this morning. The first one is a presentation by the D-Town Players. And Ms. Medrano, could I turn it over to you for introductions?
Good morning, colleagues. Welcome back. And didn't want to start off with a ho-humdrum a meeting. We wanted to be excited. A few months ago, I saw these performers at the Dallas Convention Visitors Bureau meeting, and then again, I saw them at City Arts performing. So I asked the president and CEO of the Convention Visitors Bureau, Philip Jones, if he's here. Will you come and help me introduce these performers? They tell the Dallas story in a very unique fashion. A fashion and a language that everyone understands, and that's the language of music. And they sing about our city. They are promoting our city, and I'd like Philip Jones to be so kind and introduce the details.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Councilmember Medrano, Mayor Leppert, members of the council. Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, and I'm excited about this opportunity because, as you know, one of our ongoing challenges is how do we effectively get our message out about what a great destination Dallas is for meetings, conventions, and leisure visitors. And we've come upon a concept we call live marketing that has been done in other areas but has never really been done in destination marketing. And we have such an amazing group of talented young individuals throughout the city of Dallas, but I'd like to ask them to introduce themselves, and we'd like to show you a short video, and then you're going to get an opportunity to see firsthand how we go out and promote Dallas with these incredible young, talented singers. So I'll start with you.
Hi, thank you. Hi, we're the D-Town Players. My name is Nadia Chaudhry.
Good morning, I'm Stephanie Nadalny.
Good morning, I'm Christopher Reynolds.
Good morning, I'm Gary Oaf.
With that, if we can cue the video.
There ain't no mountain high enough.
All right, so you've got these D-Town singers who are out promoting this event for you. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, this is our new live marketing concept that we want to premiere for Dallas, and it's an opportunity for folks who live here to hear firsthand from my very young, talented group of musicians what's happening in our city, and we'll be sending them out to venues like North Park and festivals such as City Art and around the country to tell our story in a very compelling way.
Trending like a spot. Go easy to get here, for I'll let my air from 14 all year round. You'll love our friendly town. Museums and concerts, they're shopping everywhere.
Good morning, thank you, but everything is amazing.
Maybe
even use it. 3, 2, 1. I'm right here at Victory Park, where we are seeing what residents and visitors love about Dallas.
Type of thing. There's the a cappella singing group. They call themselves D-Town.
Baby, there ain't no mountain high enough.
And when we get back home, we
so easy to be near. For out of the fire, the Lord he's going around. He'll love a dirty town. He'll be a mega man. He's coming everywhere.
Regional drive markets and at special events throughout the city. We think this is an effective way to communicate what an incredible city Dallas is, and we're so blessed to have such talented performers. And there are many others who are part of this group, so look for more additional coverage on this, particularly in our regional drive markets and locally, because we'll be rolling this out in a big way in the next few months. So thank you very much for this opportunity. Hope you enjoyed it. And to the team, job well done.
Thank you.
That's great.
That was perfect. Thanks, Tom. I thought Mr. Rozanski was getting up because he was going to do the next. He was going to be the lead in the next one, but evidently not.
With the change,
that was probably it.
Get his tennis shoes on. He's back now.
Mr. Pedraro, I think you're up again.
Thank you,
Mitchell. We thought you were going to do the next.
I have one coming up that I will be seeing.
We are all looking forward to it.
Colleagues, today we'd like to recognize Children's Medical Center of Dallas, such an important destination here in our city. As our city grows, so does Children's Medical Center, such an important economic development, but also a place where children
have to come, but they get well here at the number one trauma center in North Texas, and we're so proud to have them in our city, and I am so proud to have them in District 2. And if Dr. Dertrovich and Jamie, Macy Jamison, if you will please step forward and join me here at the podium. As they walk up, I'd like to read the proclamation. It reads, whereas Children's Medical Center Dallas traces its origins to the summer of 1913 when a group of nurses organized an open-air clinic on the lawn of the old Parkland Hospital for infants suffering. The nurses recognized the children receiving better care when it was focused on them, and the clinic grew into the Bradford Hospital for Babies, which merged with Children's Hospital of Texas and Richmond Freeman Memorial Clinic in 1948 to form what is now known as Children's Medical Center Dallas. And whereas Children's Medical Center Dallas is the only academic facility in North Texas dedicated to the comprehensive care of children from birth to age 18, Children's Medical Center Dallas provides patient care ranging from simple eye exams to specialized treatment in Dallas such as heart disease, hematology, oncology, and cystic fibrosis. And whereas children advocacy is an important part of Children's Medical Center Dallas' mission, hospitals, administrators, employees, and medical staff members continually work to educate officials and the public on matters of health care, education, safety, security for the children of Texas. And whereas Children's Medical Center of Dallas is founding member of the Coalition of North Texas Children, a nonpartisan educational alliance of national, state, and local nonprofit organizations working together to solve the serious problems children face. Advocacy efforts extend into the areas of success to children's health insurance, children child abuse, pediatric AIDS, childhood obesity, and community health and wellness. And whereas Children's Medical Center Dallas serves an essential role in connecting the uninsured population with the resources available to receive insurance, Children's Medical Center Dallas also leads the Dallas Area Safe Kids Coalition, spearheading local efforts to raise awareness about childhood injury prevention. And where it is appropriate today to recognize Children's Medical Center for its long-time outstanding commitment to children's health and well-being, and has positively impacted our city of Dallas. Now, therefore, I, Tom Leppert, the mayor of the city of Dallas, and on behalf of the entire Dallas City Council, do by here extend special recognition to Children's Medical Center Dallas for the excellent service to our city. And we want to thank, of course, Dr. Dervich for being here, but also Macy Jamison. She is our liaison to our city council. And let me tell you, when I have some questions about Children's Medical, I know that the doctor, you're too busy, but Macy is right. You know, she calls back as soon as possible, even on weekends, even if when we meet at grocery stores. But thank you so much, if you'd be so kind to say a few words.
Thank you, Councilmember Medrano, Mr. Mayor, other members of the City Council. This is my honor, my privilege, to accept this recognition on behalf of the more than 800 physicians of our medical staff, the more than 4,000 ladies and gentlemen who take part in the healing mission of Children's Medical Center each day, and certainly on behalf of our Board of Directors of Children's Medical Center. It is an honor. It is a privilege. It is a calling to get to do what we do each day and to be recognized by U.S. News & World Report as the top 25 children's hospital in the United States, and to receive this honor from the City Council is even more befitting of the work that these folks do. We're proud to have been a part of the history of Dallas since 1913. We're proud to be part of its progress, and we're proud to be part of its aspiration, and we thank you very much for recognizing us in this way today. Thank you.
Absolutely, and I wanted to make a comment, Mayor and Council members. This is a great picture, not because I'm in it, but it's a great picture because it shows the relationships that are so essential within the Stemmons Corridor. You have Kern Wildenthal, just retired from UT Southwestern. You have Ruben Esquivel, who's a tremendous community leader, children's representative, Texas Scottish Rite with Matt Ferguson represented. It's been an honor in my former life to work with you, Chris, and your staff. This is a first-class hospital and neighbor in our community, and I'm very glad, Pauline, that you've recognized them for their service today. Thank you.
Dr. Garcia, I know you want to make some comments, too.
I just want to, first of all, say thank you to Ms. Medrano for this well-deserved recognition. Dr. Duralish, Ms. Mason, you have been outstanding members of our community. And, Mayor, I've been reading about Children's Medical Center. I did my rotation when I was in dental school with Baylor through Children's, and it's amazing that, you know, I'm very honored that I'm going to be joining their board as well. And as I learn and read more about that big binder that you send me, I mean, I'm impressed every day more, not only because we have here in Dallas, and we need to ask the D-Town players to put best medical facilities in our city, because that has to be there. And what can I say about Children's? Top 25 in our nation that takes care of the future of our city, the Star Children. And for some of you that don't know, they're going through a major construction project. So it's not only going to be continue to be one of the top facilities, but provide more services for more children in our city and in our country. So thank you again, Dr. Durovich. I look forward, Macy, to see you as well. So we'll keep going. Thanks.
And Chris, I would just echo what's already been said, too. I've had a chance to sit on some of your ancillary boards, and it's always been an honor to do that. Terrific. Just about 2 weeks ago, I went and visited a patient at your institution, and again, was struck by not only the facilities, but more importantly, the quality of your staff and the way that they were handling the young children in the store that were there. It's terrific to have you. Terrific to have you make the investment, but more importantly, just your contribution to this community. We appreciate it, Chris.
Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me for going behind you. I just couldn't get your attention. Ms. Medrano, I want to also thank you for recognizing this very excellent facility. In my capacity as pastor of Mount Zion African Methodist Episcopal Church, I actually have children who are patients at Children's. As we speak, one of my children members is in Children's at the moment. She is 14 years old and had open heart surgery. It was a difficult procedure. It took well over 12 hours. I was there for several hours with her at the hospital. I was absolutely amazed at the care, the level of care and attention that she received, and the sensitivity with which she and her family were handled. She's not the only one I've had a chance to visit there, but that has been the most serious situation. She is, as I said, there now, and she continues to receive that very high level of care and attention. Children's, I commend you, and I thank you.
Ms. Medrano, you're on a roll, so why don't we go to the Department of Education?
Okay, colleagues, I promise this is one more. Today, I'd like to also recognize the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas. Every year they have a community program, and this year they selected three homes in East Dallas, and I'd like for the representatives of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas to join me at the podium as I read this proclamation. We'll have Jim Goodman, Mark Frazier, and a few people from the Apartment Association, Steve and Gary, and who else is going to be here? Is
Robert.
Okay. Robert. Hey, Gary, how are you?
joining us. Thank you for joining us. Colleagues, the proclamation reads, whereas the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas is a professional trade organization made up of a wide variety of businesses, including the rental property owners and management companies, with more than 2,000 properties representing over 400,000 units in 11 counties in the North Texas area, as well as 635 companies that provide professional services and quality products to the property owners and management companies. Whereas the association provides three major areas of service to its members: legislation, education, and communication. The legislative arm of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas monitors activities on the local level and state and national levels of government to keep members informed of upcoming legislation. And whereas each year the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas Community Service Committee identifies and coordinates charitable projects closely aligned with the apartment industry in which the association and its members may become involved, the committee then creates an avenue through which the association and its members may make a worthwhile contribution to a selected project. Whereas for 2008, Jim Goodman and Mark Frazier, co-chairs of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas Community Service Committee, met with the Apartment Association staff and Dallas City Council member Polly Medrano in an effort to identify community needs. A recommendation was then presented to the Apartment Association Board of Directors. And with the support and approval of the board, it was decided that the recipient of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas Community Service efforts for 2008 would be the Reconciliation Outreach Ministries in Dallas. And whereas the efforts of the 2008 Apartment Association Community Service Committee have focused on three residential homes owned and operated by Reconciliation Outreach, the occupants of this transitional housing complete a 9-month residential program for men and women who need assistance. The program provides intensive rehabilitation within a supportive, therapeutic, faith-based community that is designated and designed to increase self-respect, self-sufficiency, and to gain control over their lives. Whereas it is appropriate to recognize the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas in honor of the completion of this year's Spring 2008 Community Service Project, in which the Apartment Association member companies provided all materials and labors for the project that totaled over $40,000. The City of Dallas commends the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas for completion of this important project that will have a long-lasting positive impact on the city, on the citizens of this great city. Now, therefore, I, Tom Leppert, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the entire City Council, do hereby extend special recognition to the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas for its excellent service to Dallas. Thank you so much. You were great.
Good morning. Thank you, Councilwoman Medrano. She spent a couple hours touring the project after we completed on a very, very hot afternoon and visiting with the residents. This was a natural fit for our association to renovate the homes, and it's important to us that every resident be proud of the place they call home, and I think we all agree, it's apparent to us that they were very proud of their homes that day. I'm happy to be part of the mission over at Reconciliation Outreach. They are definitely rebuilding individual and family lives over there, and just thank you for the honor. We appreciate it.
Okay, you want to step over.
Mr. Mayor. Okay. Go ahead and take your picture, because I have a couple of things I'd like to say, too. Mr. Hannesman, Gerald, Pauline, I want to thank you for recognizing a very, very great organization. A lot of people think on this council that all apartment owners are in a lower grade. But let me tell you, the Dallas Apartment Association has done wonders in this community to upgrade the type type of living standards we have in apartments. I want to thank you. Let me tell you, they do not want bad landlords in the city of Dallas. I have talked to you numerous times. That's your one of your goals, and I want to take my hat off to the organization, which I have. I think I'm still a member of it. But thank you so much for all the work that you have done in Dallas for a better quality of life for people who rent either apartments or homes or whatever. And I personally want to thank all of you for the work that you're doing. Thank you, Gerald, very much. Thank you.
Can I have Rick Galtron come up and join me, please? Hey, Rick, how are you doing? Good. Each year in the city of Dallas, we have about 5,000 accidents at traffic signals, and about 30% of those are related to running of a red light. If we look and see red light cameras, they tend to reduce those on a national basis by 40-50%. And if we look at preliminary data from last year, we would see that we've got a reduction of about 53%. I think all of us at one time or another have come up to a traffic signal and seen the results of somebody that's run a red light and seen not only the damage done to cars, but more importantly, the injuries that come on those. We have also seen that those red light cameras that we have talked about for so long are actually having that positive impact that we want of reducing those, of increasing awareness for it. We are coming up to the National Stop on Red Light Week. That is August 3rd to 9th here in the city of Dallas. And Rick, I want to present to you a proclamation that cites a number of the data that I just mentioned and really is designed to increase awareness. This afternoon at noon here at City Hall, we're going to have a press conference. We'll unveil some new messages to try to encourage the people of Dallas and throughout our region to make sure that they're more conscious of stopping on those yellow lights, not going into the intersection on red lights, and again, preventing the accidents and the injuries that come with it. We're seeing some great success, I think, both because of the awareness and because of the lights, the cameras that are put out there, and we need to continue that. We need to continue to build that awareness, that visibility for what we're doing. So, Rick, we appreciate what you're doing. It's my pleasure to present this proclamation to you, and then, again, we'll see you a little bit later this afternoon, right?
Thank you.
Terrific. Rick, you want to make a couple of comments?
I guess the only thing I can say is congratulations to the staff. It's been a great job. The vision of the managers, the city council, the mayor, and most of all the citizens of Dallas for obeying the traffic laws and making sure that they stop at these red lights. It's a much safer city than it has been even a year ago. Thank you very much.
Again, at noon today here at City Hall, we'll have the Safe Light Dallas Stops on Red, and I encourage everybody to be there. There were a number of our committee chairmen that wanted to make brief reports. Ms. Koop, could I move to you on transportation? I know you want to touch on some other things that fall within that area, but also get into air quality and those.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of things, colleagues. You probably have been noticing in the paper recently that the RTC has voted to move forward with regional rail. has voted to move forward with regional rail in the entire region, and we will be visiting with our legislators for the next 9 months until May, presenting them with a package of funding ideas from which they can choose. Those of us who are on the committee will be lining up the meetings with our legislators. Some of us will have to miss some or part of various committee meetings and agenda meetings. As a matter of fact, I know Mr. Nuczynski and I have one lined up next week where we're going to have to do that. Please know that we do everything we can to not schedule them during this period, but it's really up to the legislators. It's a very important issue for the region and our air quality. And please know that we are working very hard to get some of this package over the goal line, and there will be a vote by the citizens at the end of this to tell us if they want regional rail and how to fund it. It's a very, very important project for the entire region, our entire 9-county region. Second of all, I want to pass out, if somebody can, on the staff, pass out one of each of these. One is an editorial buzz in the Dallas Morning News this morning. The other is an article that was written several days ago that was in the business section of the news. This refers to the Texas Clean Air Cities Coalition, of which we are a member and I am the chair. It's 37 cities representing over half of the population in the state of Texas. We have reached a settlement agreement with a huge energy company, NRG, by which is really quite remarkable, quite frankly. Like I said, we've been working on it for 9 months. This is how I spent my summer vacation, trying to hammer this thing out, along with our staff members, our environmental staff members, attorneys, the attorneys from Houston and their environmental staff members, our attorneys, Sussman Godfrey, who has offices here and in downtown, who is a very powerful force in environmental litigation. And we have managed to come to an agreement and I think the most significant thing, well, there's two significant things that were in the agreement. One is they are building another coal-fired plant, but it will be so clean that the two plants that are there already, it will reduce criteria emissions from what the emissions are today with the two plants. Once the new plant comes on board, those emissions will be less than they are today, which is something that no one thought that could happen. And two, they are going to offset or sequester half of the carbon that's emitted by the plant, which could be the first time in the state of Texas that we have been able to receive those kinds of agreements with a coal-fired plant. So it's a significant thing. I was pleased that, and they didn't call me, I haven't talked to them, but I was pleased that the Morning News this morning had that as their top editorial. It is significant. We are moving as a city and as a coalition towards two things. One is the capture and or non-release of carbon into our air to prevent global warming, and two is to have clean energy. Our goal is to have clean, if it's going to be a coal-fired plant, to have clean coal, and we would prefer to have renewable energies, but in the absence of that, we would prefer to have clean coal. So we're moving towards those kinds of things very rapidly in the state of Texas. You will see us being very aggressive over the next year or so. I want to applaud our city for taking that leadership position in the coalition, and I know that as we move forward in this issue, and there'll be some issues that we bring up also today that involve the coalition as well later on. But as we move forward in those issues, I just want you to know that if you have any questions about it, please let me know. But environmentally, we're at the forefront of something that's very, very important here in the state of Texas and here in the North Texas region. It has all to do with cleaning our air and having less carbon in the air. Thank you, Mayor.
I appreciate that. That was a very important report. And I know all of your colleagues and everybody in your district understands the leadership that you provide here on the council, but it's important, the leadership that you provide in the region and the state on these issues. I know you spend an awful lot of time on it, but it's an awful lot of results to show for it, too, and all of us appreciate that. Thanks, Ms. Cooper. Ms. Hill, could I turn to you, update on some of the work? I know you've been busy on the legislative side, too.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Cooper, to commend you for being a leader in this area. Thank you so much. The Legislative Committee is moving forward aggressively. We are preparing, and we are preparing, as Ms. Coop noted in her presentation, not only as a city, but as a regional coalition. We are under the very, very capable leadership of our legislative team, Ms. Soom, Brett Wilkinson, Larry Castor, and Barbara McCall in Washington. We present our legislation, as you know, as a packet. To that end, and working as a region,
We have sent out approximately 40 invitations to conversation to various entities, large and small. I will spend and have already begun to spend time face to face with each of those entities. We want to be very clear that we are very serious about engaging our regional partners and going to the state legislature as a regional group. Likewise, we will go to Washington as a regional group. We will be calling upon various council members, but we are identifying the places where council members will be most helpful. I have spoken with almost all of you individually, and the two or three of you that I have not had a chance to get to, I will. We will, of course, be absent a tremendous amount of time in January, but we expect to do very well at the legislature, not only to pass the things that are important to us, but to keep anybody else from passing things that are harmful to us, and we'll move forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Terrific. Ms. Hill, appreciate that and appreciate your time. And it is critical that we be part of the overall region. I know you're working with all the other entities, both public and private in the region. That's going to be critical to our success that we go in with a unified approach for this region on the key issues. So we appreciate that. Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. The Trinity River Corridor Project Committee in June had the discussion as it relates to the Trinity Parkway design standards. This week we started the discussion on the park design standards, separate from the parkway. And the staff and the consultants that are part of the Trinity River Corridor Project gave a very thorough presentation to the committee and started the whole process of give and take, back and forth conversation. We didn't have any resolution per se, but we had good questions about what the dimension of the park is going to be with the three lakes, with all the amenities, the issue of parking within the park, pedestrian and auto traffic in and out of the park, and this is the going forward conversation. I'm very pleased that we started the discussion moving forward, and there within the next month or so we'll hopefully come to some sort of resolution with feedback, because what we're doing is trying to create a vision, a wish list of things that we would want, whether it be lighting, whether it be trails, whether it be the dimensions and the attributes of the lakes, and then how our citizens get to and from the Trinity Park. So that's the critical thing that we're going to be focused on. We did have some discussion on sump and drainage issues that come from downtown. It's a Jill, is it called the Able Sump Station, that the staff briefed us on, and again, the idea is to make sure this is a concerted effort. The second thing that I'm trying to do is to provide a higher level of visibility about all things Trinity River Corridor Project related, and so I'm working with our PIO staff in order to dissect the project and start talking about what we accomplished in the previous month, what we're focused on this month, and what we expect to preview in the future months. So you're going to start seeing that three-month calendar come out on a regular basis, what we accomplished, what we're focused on, and what's the preview going forward, so that we can regularly give feedback about what we said we were going to do, what we did, and what we plan to do, and then what we do. And again, that's to raise visibility, not only within the council here, but also all the communities, whether it be business organizations, neighborhood organizations, community groups, and our citizens. So that's how we're trying to get re-energized.
Terrific. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Atkins, I know we're moving forward on the Economic Task Force for the southern part of our city. Could you update us on that?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. As of June 24th, our last meeting in Economic Development, we had a briefing to adopt the Southern Central Task Force. Mayor, since then, the Dallas Morning News editorial board has numerous articles about the southern sector. Also, we have great articles in the Dallas Business Journal discussing about the southern sector, economic development, housing, whatever. But also, with Dave Newman, Dr. Garcia, Dwayne Carraway, Bronson Hill, Carolyn Davis, Steve Salazar, and Pauline Madrano, those districts, we encourage you to be at our task force meeting on August the 21st at 4:30 or 7 o'clock. So make sure you have your input. The Dallas Morning News, they are our choir, you know, going around and courting all of the citizens of Dallas to make sure that we are going to be monitoring what we do. And as a city, for the first time, the Dallas Morning News said this is a great opportunity for the city of Dallas to go forward south of I-30. And we need your input. We also need input from our other seven council people, districts, especially the north, to endorse this east, west, and south. Number one, on on August the 21st, we will have a first meeting, of course, but also we encourage everyone to listen to this program. It's probably broadcast live, number one. It's going to be a big press conference going on August 21st. But what we're trying to do is make sure the city of Dallas institutionalized something going on south of I-30. We want to see in the future high rise. We want to see hotels. We want to see restaurants. We want to see economic development. And that's the purpose of this Southern Central Task Force. And thank Mayor Leppard for endorsing me to be the chair of the Southern Central Task Force. And also, colleague, I need your help and also need the city management staff to help us and also the private sector. Thank you.
This is our opportunity. We've got some good things moving forward. This is an opportunity to really see some good
things.
Maybe
at City Hall and auditorium.
Terrific. Yeah. Ms. Hunt, do you want to take just a moment? I know we've got some important judicial interviews coming up this week. If you'll just give us a few of you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On Thursday and Friday, we will be interviewing candidates for our municipal judge positions as well as the administrative judge who heads up our municipal courts. And we do this every 2 years. It's a very important process. We'll be interviewing, the council committee will be interviewing on Thursday and Friday for several hours on both days. And I've been in touch with the committee. I think we have a very good committee. Some very good questions are coming out of our committee. And I'm looking forward to the interviews. I think it's an important process, and I think we've got a committee that's well prepared for it.
Terrific. Thank you. Mr. Tinsky, I think you wanted to add some comments too, please.
Yeah, just a couple of quick ones, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, those of you that are serving on the Economic Development Committee know that our calendar is, like, so full, we've got to have special meetings. So the good news is that the economy is, you know, continuing to move forward, and we're doing a lot of exciting things in Dallas. And one of them, and I know that y'all are well aware of this, but a couple comments on it, is the AT&T relocation from San Antonio to Dallas. San Antonio had some very kind words for the city of Dallas the other day as they lauded us for our creativity in luring AT&T away with some tools that they hadn't even thought of. I just hope they don't use those tools to lure some of our corporations back to San Antonio. But coming on the heels of the Comerica relocation, I think we're really on a roll to begin to reestablish Dallas, Texas, and especially the downtown urban core as a location for corporate America. The other thing, when you look at as the committee recommended approval this last meeting for the council on the AT&T package, when you look at some of the packages that cities like Chicago use to lure some corporate citizens and you compare the dollars and jobs, we got a heck of a lot more bang for our buck than they did. So we're not leaving money on the table, but we are doing deals that corporate America can appreciate. And then the other thing I want to make a mention, if you didn't see the editorial the other day in the paper regarding the urban market, I know those of you that were on the council when we started the urban market saga, and those of you that have joined the council as we continue the urban market saga, it was very pleasing to me to see the morning news say that the vision that we had to put some money at risk and the results that we've reached with it and the importance of the urban market, gave us at least a little pat on the back for saying that we did take a chance, but we took a chance that's paid off and heading us in the right direction. So there's a lot of other exciting things going on downtown, new projects, and other issues around the city. We've got, as a result of the trip the mayor made to Chicago, we've had almost a continuous stream of communications and visitors back and forth, looking at the Inland Port area, looking at Dallas, and some even looking at the downtown core area as a place to move their offices. So it's an exciting time, and we're moving forward, Mayor.
A lot of good things, especially downtown and the iPod, and you may want to watch the news the next day or so. You might see some more good news in downtown, too. We'll leave it at that. Madam Secretary, can I turn?
I have a comment.
Mr. Zansky, please.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your reports on various committees.
I want everybody to know that I am not as optimistic as my good friend, Mr. Atinsky, about that our economy is on a roll. If our economy is on a roll, Ms. Soom, I would like to see you make sure that we cut taxes this year. So since everybody thinks the economy is on a roll, that's just not what I'm reading nationwide and in the city of Dallas, with big businesses and all going bankrupt, homeowners, home builders losing first quarter $400 million. I want to be optimistic, but we have to proceed with caution. So keep it in mind. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Madam Secretary, why don't we go to the first item? That's the approval of the minutes of June 18th. Those have been distributed in advance. If I can have a motion, Mr. Zansky moved it. Mr. Newman seconded.
Mr. Mayor, do you want to go with the speakers first?
Or I'm sorry. I apologize.
Let's go to the
Okay.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members.
This morning
we have several speakers to speak, but we're going to start with our first five speakers. And while I call the first five speakers up, our first one is going to be Rick Gonzalez. I'll read the council rules of procedure into the record. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council, or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak, and when you see the amber number flash, that means you have 30 seconds, and you'll see a red stop signal. Our first speaker is going to be Rick Gonzalez, followed by Unzumba Nuex, William Hopkins, Kenneth Stretcher, and Martha H. Du Bois. Mr. Gonzalez.
Good morning, everyone. Rick Gonzalez, 4283 South Crest Haven, Dallas, Texas, District 14. I want to share a few thoughts with you in these couple of minutes, taxes, bulk trash, and a couple of comments on the Dallas Police Department. First, I'd like to welcome you guys back. The 8 years I've been standing at this podium, I've never taken the time to come down and welcome you guys back for the next year, and I'd like to take a moment. I think maybe it's a reflection, maybe the majority of the council was replaced last year. I think there's a new energy in the city, and I just want to thank you guys for that. I think it's reflected, whether I'm at 911 or 311 or wherever it is reflected, so thank you guys. On the taxes, Ms. Coop, I know you're working on that legislation. I know it's been denied 2 legislations in a row, and if we're going to sit here and look at raising our taxes for mass transit, which I completely support, I think it ought to be on the November ballot so that more people besides the 40 invites can participate in this, please. I passed out some pictures. It's our bulk trash. These guys are doing a great job. The problem is there's no trash. We're picking up trash too often. Y'all made a comment about San Antonio. San Antonio, you'll see 2 trucks, 2 guys, twice a year. That's their bulk trash. On this picture, you have 5 guys, 3 trucks, and you can't even see the trash. Please, I've been talking about this for 2 years. Now, the Dallas Police Department, I work a lot with the Northwest Precinct. I want to give a shout-out to Lieutenant Cato, our Deputy Chief Cato, Lieutenant Acting Deputy Chief Aziz, all the lieutenants, all the sergeants there. I want to thank them. It's an honor. I saw them working last year. I see them working all the time, but I saw him come out last week and address several issues that I've had. Not the first time, probably won't be the last time. We might have to amend some issues or some laws down here to get some support from you guys. But it has been an honor to support and to be backed by the Dallas Police Department. And I just want to make that clear. Thank you, Dallas Police Department, and thank you, Council.
Our next speaker, Unzumba.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
My name is Chief Minister Zuma Wadalu Lunks. Dallas, you don't have to feel lonesome anymore because a dark police officer assaulted me on the 23rd of this month because he was asking me if I was hanging around at West End waiting for a bus, waiting for a bus with some of my other neighbors. But anyway, I was assaulted by A. Drysdale, ADRISDLE, number 412. I went to DART and filed a complaint and everything. So Hot Rod, don't be alone. Hot Rod Gerard Jane, number 7645, was talking to me back about 4 years ago. Well, anyway, let me say it like this. He didn't, well, yes, he did. And he didn't take my medicine with me when he took me to jail, put me in dirty, loose dirt, and the areas where I could catch germs, and it was just filthy, and I had counsel. You know, I'm still waiting, Dwayne. You all haven't got back with me on that. I paid bail bond and everything, my money. You took my money, you put me in jail, you want me to obey the law of the land, then you should treat people the way you should treat them when you mistreat them. We had a lead meet, which we weren't invited to here in West Dallas. I've been in Dallas 59 years, I'm 62 years old. I have a lot of events for the dogs and cats, and we defended them. I believe the cats have no soul, as I understand in my Bible. I believe that they do not have to face the first resurrection or the second resurrection. There's no heaven or hell. They would just die. I do believe that man is going to be accountable for what he has done to the earth and to all the animals, anything, because God put him in charge of them. But they seem to be getting more credit than people now. And so we have to realize that people are more important than animals in that sense. Animals do not have a heaven or hell. They don't have to face the first or second resurrection. I would like for you to read Matthew 24 chapter, because it speaks of the last times. It says the sign of the end time. And Jesus answered and told them, when they asked him about when these times will come, and he said there will be wars and rules and wars, and the nation will come against nation. He said, you know, that people will come against people, you know, for his name, against you, say, they will deliver you up for tribulation to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So you know if Jesus Christ will kill, what could you expect from me or anyone else? So I say to you, for any problem that we have in this world, if you would pick this book up to go on to doctors and stuff for problems you're having, the Bible tells you everything that's going to happen to you in this world, about how people are going to lie on you, dangers of the tongue, the bitter thing, it's just all there. And It's not a global warming, I warn you, and you can say, oh, Zuma told us this, there's nothing you can do about it. So mark me for something, even though you may think I'm ignorant, but I tell you, we're living in the end time, and man cannot do anything to change it. It says the Pacific Ocean was one of the biggest dump ground we have now today. But I'm waiting on you all. If you don't stay in the God will, God bless you. I'll still be praying, because you know what? I know I can beat. I know I can beat, man. Can't beat God.
William
kill
Hopkins.
Christ once, you can't kill him twice. He's coming back to judge next time, baby.
Mr. Hopkins? Kenneth Stretcher?
No.
Oh, I didn't see you, Mr. Hopkins. Please come forward.
My name is William Hopkins. I've been coming down here about 12 years, Tom, about the people dying in West Dallas. My mother died. My father got cancer. My sister, her granddaughter, died just for nothing. She was about a month old. I got numerous amount of friends. I've been to about 2 funerals since y'all been on vacations. So, Tom, you told me you was going to have a meeting about the lead and the blacks and Hispanics that's dying in West Dallas. You tricked me and had a private meeting with your white friends and a few people out of West Dallas. Dwayne, I called Dwayne. And asked Dwayne, why didn't he let me know about the meeting? Dwayne didn't know about the meeting. Didn't no black city council people know about the meeting. I don't guess you wanted the blacks to know about your private meeting you had, Tom. And I want Dwayne to address me and why that he didn't know, and why didn't he let me know, Tom, that you had this private meeting. And I'd like to know if any of the white council members, you told any of the white ones and not the black ones. I'm going to come again, Dwayne. I'm here again, Dwayne. The people dying in West Dallas. Fred Byron and Bud and Laura Miller husband came to the boys club in a hotel and tricked the blacks, Dwayne, out of their money. They give some people $1,000 a month and they give some people $50 a month on their checks. They had our preachers to sell us out. They gave the preachers parking lots and roofs on their church to sell us out, to make the stack was too high. So the Fred Byron and Bud and Laura Miller and his husband and their law firm had them come to the boys club, Dwayne, and the stack was too high. So they tell the preachers, Reverend Conley and Reverend Spiros, if you make this stack this small, we can put a roof on your church and pave your parking lot. So the stack was small, Dwayne, and the people that got the checks were the people in the congregation. You didn't have to live in West Dallas, Dwayne. which is a fake lawsuit that Fred Byron and Bud and Laura Miller's husband had in West Dallas. We've been denied a help. We don't have no representation in West Dallas. We die in the Trinity River. When the Trinity River playing, people come to West Dallas. I ask them, who check for lead? We under a super fund, Dwayne, in West Dallas. We under asbestos health alert, Dwayne, from Raphael and Chill and Royce West. Royce West sold us out. I don't know if that's the money he gave, y'all gave him the state for their school, the reason Royce West sold us out, Dwayne. But he know we dying. He won't say nothing. We under asbestos alert. Salazar said it's safe in West Dallas. It can't be safe, Dwayne, with asbestos alert and an EPA lead alert. I asked the Trinity River people, who tested the Trinity? They told me nobody. But y'all going along with Newman, don't care nothing about the blacks in West Dallas. Haven't been to no meetings. I haven't had no meetings with Newman in West Dallas as long as he's been here. He a petition in West Dallas, but since he's been on the council, I've never seen him in West Dallas. We dying, Dwayne, and Tom Leppard had a private meeting, like I told you, and you said you didn't know about it, Dwayne, and I want you to address that, and why did he have a private meeting with his white friends and not the black city council people?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Kenneth Stretcher, followed by Martha DeBose.
Kenneth Stretcher, 3832 Mount Pleasant, that's District 1. Several years ago, I was working with a small city employee union, and someone from the Parks and Recreation Department came into our office. His job was to carry a pump-up sprayer on his back and walk around and spray weeds. Well, the can was leaking, and the poison was running down his pants, and now he asked his supervisor for some rubber boots. And the supervisor wouldn't give them to him. So he came to the union, and he pulled his pants down to show us what was happening, and he was covered with running sores from his waist to his ankles. Now, the air conditioning in this building goes off at 6 o'clock. There's people working in this building until 7 o'clock the next morning. The company they're working for tells them that they have to work 96 hours in a pay period before they get overtime. Now, we filed charges with the Fair Labor Standards Act over that, but the point I'm trying to make here is you've heard a lot from the Sanitation Department about the exploitation and abuse there, but the point I'm trying to make is that this is going on in all the departments that use contractors in the city. And the city needs policies that address these kinds of issues. These workers need protection with city policies. And the first thing that should be done, there should be a wage floor provided by the city, written by ordinance or resolution that protects these workers and gives them a living wage.
Thank you, sir. Martha DeBose, Willie Coleman,
good morning, Mayor and City Council members. Thank you for giving me this privilege to speak to all of you. I live in South Dallas, 3802 York Street, in sunny South Dallas. I hear all the accolades and what you're doing in Oak Cliff, but nothing in South Dallas. You moved all of the people into Frazier. You moved them into Rosemount. We're running over with people now. We don't have no grocery store. We have no service station. The only self-serving service station was Mr. Steele, and they beat him up and run him out of business. The old women that drive cars, they have no way of getting gas in their cars. There are so many problems over there. We got drug houses. You bust a drug house today, and you take them to jail today, and in the morning they cleaning up tonight, and in the morning they back in business. What happened to the nuisance law? You know, tear it up, tear it down. You're letting the man rebuild the apartments at Southern Terrace now. They're 50 years plus old. we call and they say they in bankruptcy. I came by there this morning. They are working. They have put them into the hands of a company that is renting them. And he's painting them and he's renting them. They're full of asbestos. You all know that. They've been there a long time. They are not worth living. You throw a little paint up there and you say, move in. You can move in free this week with no down payment. No payment. Just move in. This is so unfair. We need a grocery store. We need convenience stores. Grocery stores out there, the little stores, they sell one cigarette, two slices of bread. They'll sell one diaper. But they sell plenty of beer. The beer trucks go to the store every day. Milk trucks go once a month. And this is sad. This is sad. It breaks my heart to see that you'll sweep the streets at the end of August because it's fair time. Miss Davis can't do all of this by herself. Everybody up here is obligated to all of us in Dallas. All of us. We are going to be in South Dallas while you're on vacation. The nice article that you're speaking about, the man praised O'Cliff, he said South Dallas is waiting on, there's going to be another Katrina. So they're working that way. And this is so sad. I'm not going anywhere. I'm 74 years old, and I'm thankful. I've been out there all my life. And I'm just not going to stand for you all to sit here and brag and do all of this and not let all of these bad business people come to South Dallas. We still got some motels out there. They park the cars down the street and walk around the street. We got more social workers on the street out there than the law allows. It's sad. Please, please, hear my plea. Hear our plea. I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of my neighbors and friends and people that really care and concern. We're not going anywhere. We can't really afford to go. But I do want y'all to hear our plea. Come and help Miss Davis bring some business to South Dallas. We don't have a grocery store. And I can't haul everybody all over town running a fresh air cab for them to get good food. Please hear my plea. Thank you.
Ms. Coleman, would you mind coming back, please? Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman, I do not live there, but 70 years ago, 72 years ago, my wife and I were brought up there, and we go back. And we see what's going on there. And we had an Economic Development Committee meeting this week, and it was brought up that it shows on the slide some burnt out homes. These homes were not exactly like Governor Perry's mansion. These were burnt out homes that the Landmark Commission was trying to save. And let me tell you, I was incensed by that, what is going on. Mr. Perkins, may I ask you to please come up? I think several others, including Mr. Caraway, showed a big interest in that. And this has got to stop. We are not going to get any economic development in the southern sector until we get these homes cleaned up. Mr. Perkins, I appreciate I had one of these homes in my district. You came out or sent someone out, and in 2 weeks it was gone. I know that this is not an easy thing. Sometimes you can't find who the heirs are, and there's deeds of trust filed on the property. But we have to do, you know, the city has been doing a couple of years a warrant roundup where we have picked up people who do not pay their tickets. We ought to start a house roundup. And these people who are leaving these homes like that, get a bulldozer in there and get rid of them. Just get rid of them and let's face our consequences later. But these people need some relief. If we don't give them the relief, we're not going to get any... How can you expect economic development when somebody's going to drive around there and see all these houses and drug houses? We need to get rid of them. We need to be aggressive to that, Mr. Perkins. I appreciate what you helped me in my district in one of these homes, but let me tell you, where I had one, these people have thousands.
Well,
thank you.
Mr. Zansky, we demolish approximately 250 homes a year. We are
that's
we
only are, 20 a month.
We get rid of 250 a year.
That's 20.
We are
a month.
Looking at what are the options available to do more, and we will be presenting that to the council in terms of what either structurally, in terms of new people, new courts, new laws are necessary to do more than what we're doing now.
My colleagues who represent the southern sector, their hands are tied unless we really be proactive in getting these homes removed. Thank you,
sir.
Ms. Coleman, thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tom, I'm going to ask you some questions in a moment. Ms. Davis, Ms. Kelly.
Melinda, thank you so much. First of all, I would like to say thank you, Ms. Coleman, for coming down. Just brief talk about what has gone on in District 7, especially the South Dallas Fair Park area. I have toured the area with staff. So far, we have about, the number of calls that's been called in to 311 is about, so far, 800 calls. That's just that we have done just on our tours in South Dallas. I want to talk a little about the Summer Breeze apartment, and I don't want to get into full detail because it is in litigation. I do know that the city attorney is working with those apartments, and because it's in litigation, there are some things that we're going to be doing or the city attorney, and I cannot talk a lot about what that's going to be concerning those apartments. But I want to make this very clear. This didn't happen overnight. This is some neglect, long-term neglect. This didn't just happen overnight, and all these problems didn't happen overnight. Some of this, and who do we point fingers at? I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. I'm just here now as a new council member to fix the problem. I can sit here all day and point the blame game, but that's not going to resolve the issues in South Dallas. We're going to continue to look at Chapter 54. And 54 is going to deal with the abandoned houses, vacant lots, and some other issue of Chapter 54. But I do agree we're going to have to be more aggressive with Chapter 54. Tom has met with me, and he's going to meet with me again on some of the, what will be the first 200 houses or vacant lots that we'll look at in Chapter 54. But the other problem are my neighbors. In South Dallas, we must all work together, and if we see problems, we must call the police department, and we must call 311. If we see trash, we must get up, and we must pick it up. There are a lot of things that we must do in working together to resolve these issues. Now, there are some stores. We did the Clean Sweep Task Force. We went into a number of stores in South Dallas, and it was just unheard of the things that I saw in some of those stores. Filth, day-old bread, dirty floors, bad meat. It was awful. So the question I'm going to be asking Pauline is that we need to look at the health department. What is the process when they go in to these stores, especially in the South Dallas area? What is it that they look for when it comes to a store? Now, what was told to me that some of the things that they look at is just the meat itself. They don't look at the whole store. But when I pulled the inspection sheet from the health department, it has all the things on there to look at the whole store. And they're not looking at the whole store. In order to close the store down for 30 days for the store to come up to compliance. These stores, and a lot of the stores in South Dallas, is out of compliance. Malepa started a store task force. And they're going to come and brief us sometime in August about what we need to do to deal with some of these convenience stores. From my understanding, Houston has one that's extremely good. But our convenience stores are way, way, way out of hand. I wouldn't purchase meat from some of those stores that I went into in my district. But for whatever reason, people are going there. That's one of the problems. The other problem is codes.
Our city manager has been working with me on code, and I must give Mary that credit. I'm going to always give what credit is due. Mary has been working with me. We're trying to resolve some issues with code violation in that neighborhood, but just not only in South Dallas. I got the same issues in Oak Cliff, or some part of my district, which is in down in the bottom, around that Bunnyview area. I have some code issues in my Ferguson area. So I think this is just not one area, but I have to look at the whole district. So we're going to continue to work with code. We got some things coming up on the 16th that we're going to be doing to try to look at code. But there are some exciting things that are also going on in the South Dallas Fair Park area. One of the things I have to say, we got the Bear 1 and 2. Spring Avenue, we're doing that huge redevelopment on Spring. We're going to be looking at the Dolphin Heights area. We're going to be doing a whole new development on there. We're going to be bringing a new retail development on Grand Avenue around the TODs, Pastor Simmons with his church. They're going to start a huge new development on Irve and Hatchett. We're looking at the St. Philip area where we're going to talk about doing some new development in that area. We are working with two or three motels on trying to resolve some issues with that. Sometimes when you start talking about a lot of new development in an area, people tend to want to jack the price up. They want to increase the price to get more for the bang. So with the good there, with the bad there is some good. Also, we're going to be looking at the Central Kitchen District. There's a lot of land around that area, trying to bring some development around that area. When it comes to a store, and everybody talk about why don't we have a grocery store in our area, the grocery stores, for whatever reason, don't want to come. I don't know if they're changing their marketing strategy or whatever it may be, they are not coming. I have talked to a number of grocery store chains, and our area is not their market anymore. And so I just want to kind of put that out there. So we are working extremely hard to deal with some of these important issues that's going on in South Dallas, but throughout the whole district. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Coleman. Thank you, Mayor. And Ms. Coleman, you know you are a true champion. You've been a little under the weather, but when you bounce back, you know how to come right back to continuing the great things that you've been doing. Let me just say, and my comments are directed for South Dallas, and that is Ms. Davis's district, but it's overall in the southern sector, because in the southern sector we have the same problem. When we talk about the park that we're going to overdeck on Woodall Rogers, that's a huge project, and that's one that we support. The Arts District is a huge project, and that's one that we totally support. At the same token, I think that our message today and your message is that the smaller things in our community are just as large as those type of projects, meaning the fact that just a mere grocery store. And to have the convenience of a grocery store geographically, and Ms. Davis, I'm not dealing with your district, I'm going to talk a little bit about it so I can put a disclaimer up there first. In South Dallas proper, because I want folks to understand that South Dallas is not Oak Cliff. Now, they cannot continue to take our identity away. I was born and reared and raised in South Dallas on Mills Place in the projects around where now it is the Frazier Project. South Dallas stops at the Trinity River.
Amen.
And once we identify and get a handle on that, then we can understand when we are talking about that geographical distinction of South Dallas. I'm speaking of South Dallas now. There's only one grocery store. Well, now it's two, because Save-A-Lot is now on Martin Luther King. But there are two grocery stores on Martin Luther King. If you're going down toward the Fair Park, you'll see Save-A-Lot on your left across from Madison High School, and then just down from there across the new train, the dark rail, you'll see Minions.
picture folks having to have to travel from Lincoln High School, Bunton, over way from St. Philip's, back all the way from Lamar, and in those neighborhoods, trying to take those little plastic sacks of groceries home. That is not a convenient way for folks to have to try to get their groceries home, and especially seniors. They're having to have to get on a bus and try to lug all of these bags to get home. I do want to say that Councilwoman Davis is working extremely strong. If she weren't, I tell you, she's working extremely strong, hard, and our mayor and the entire council is listening now to the need of the community. And these things are going to take place. But it's going to take the little bitty things in order to attract economic development. And that is to you, Tom, the houses and the boarded houses. I know that we're working on something, and Mr. Rozanski has alluded to it, and I know that we're doing 250 a year. But we got to figure out a way to do 1,000 a year, because I got 1,000 in my district that's ready to go today. And if I could just drive a bulldozer and get away with it, I would just go and deal with the situation and then let the chips fall where they may. It is unreasonable to have 6 boarded houses in a row in my district and in South Dallas and other districts in a row on the same street. How can I ever attract any type of economic opportunity or investor when he's going to see that, well, if this is how it is, why am I going to open up a store? Why should I come over here and open up a store? We can no longer allow slumlords, because that's what I label them as, is slumlords. They will come in here and will leave the house, and then they will go and move into a house in Cedar Hill or out of state somewhere and not worry about what the trash that they've left on our plate. So we're going to have to figure out a way, and we're going to start tearing these houses down. Long story short, let me just cut through the chicken. We're going to have to tear these houses down, send the signal, and we got to find a way. So I'm charging the city attorney's office, roll up your sleeves, find a way. Let's not compromise a way. Find a way that we, the city council, can go in and begin to take these houses down. And if it means that we pass some type of a resolution or ordinance that once we tag it, you got 120 days. If we can't find you, that's it. Too bad. This is what we're going to do. I'm just putting a date on it. That is too long. But we've got to find a way to move this process, because up and until we address the boarded houses in a very, very tough manner, the drugs are going to still stick around. The vagrants are going to still hang out. They're going to continue to tie up the police's time. Police response's time is going to be even slower, because while we're dealing with something that we shouldn't have to deal with in the beginning, they're over there dealing with something where they could be answering other calls, keeping other citizens safe. So I just want to say that, and let me say that Chief Paul Hill is working extremely strong and hard in Ms. Coleman in South Dallas. The motel that you were talking about, Councilwoman Davis, has initiated the move to get rid of the one over on, not just by St. Philip's, that's in motion, and also the Millmore Motel on 2nd at Jamaica.
Penelope.
And it has to go, and she's initiated a plan for that, and so that is in motion. You mentioned about these cigarettes, and you mentioned the fact that they're going in and buying one cigarette. Mr. Perkins will tell you that just yesterday, I'm still dealing with an ordinance, and he's preparing an ordinance for me now, addressing these single cigarettes. And why? Because the single cigarettes in these grocery stores, little mom and pop stores that we do have in our community, they sell more cigarettes in one day, single cigarettes, than they do bread, milk, butter, chips, or soda. And here's the deal with that. They take that single Black & Mild cigar, and that's why you don't see them with the cigarette papers anymore, because they use those Black & Milds to smoke their dope. And that is what has been such a deterrent. My take on the thing is this. In order to sell a cigarette, on a package, it has to have the Surgeon General warning. Well, when they take them out and sell those single cigarettes, they're selling bad health with no warning. So again, with that, I've asked you all to take charge and figure out how we're going to do that. Some folks may think that the things that Ms. Davis and my other colleagues are working on may be minor. These things are major in our community. If we correct these things, we then can turn around and continue to build and bring about economic development, make folks safe, and folks will feel good about coming and living in our community. But I say this to the council, and I need each and every one of you to really adhere to this one request that I have. You're hearing us talk about it. We're talking about it. I want us to get on a bus, and I want us to tour the southern sector, not just District 4, 5, 7, and 8. I want us to tour it all. I want us to go to 6. I want us to go to West Dallas. I want us to go everywhere, so that when we're talking about it and you hear us bellying out our plea for help and the different things and challenges that we have visually, you can have a much better understanding about our plight. It is very, very important that we see more than just on a piece of paper what we're talking about and what we're dealing with on a daily basis. So I'd like to do that immediately, and I'd like to do it really on a day that we can fix our schedule, and I'd like to do it even before the budget so that we can be budget conscious of some things. I know it's tight for us, but we got to get out here and see what we're talking about. And once you see it, because I want you all to go down to Alabama. Once you go down to Alabama, trust me, you'll be locking doors, you'll be doing some of everything and hoping that we don't stop. That is unfair for any citizen in this city to have to live around. Mm-hmm. But those are things that we will never know about until you see it yourself. So, Mary, will you get with me with a date? Council, I would ask you all, because we're going to do it, I'd invite you all. Now, those that want to go, and I hope all of us are going to go, because now with the bus is going to leave, we're going to go. I can tell you that now. It's just a matter of when you give us the date. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I yield for a minute.
Mr. Atkins, please. Thank you. Councilor Carraway. Also, Councilor Davis. I'm not going to be redundant. You know, I grew up in South Dallas. I grew up in the project. And I know more about South Dallas than more people around this horse should know about South Dallas. I'm a product of South Dallas. But it's still up to the people who live there to make the community better. I visit South Dallas every Sunday, almost every other Sunday, because my son preaches in South Dallas. He's a minister there. I understand Bertrand Street. I understand stores. I understand there are stores there in South Dallas that I have went to. And Ms. Davis, we know about those stores. The product is not there. I feel like Cole could do a better job. It should not be fair for the citizen to even go to that store. I had the same store in my district. If you look at the region in District 8 in comparison to South Dallas, if you just imagine from I-35 to I-45, and you imagine from Camp Wilson to I-20, there is one grocery store in that whole area. And there is probably over 20,000 people in that area. And they got such a one grocery store. And you imagine the same thing that Councilor Davis said, that in South Dallas, also in Oak Cliff, in West Dallas, and part of East Dallas, there is the same problem. Boarded up houses. I think we as a city can do a better job to do this, because I think as council we do make policies. If we make policies, we are doing the right thing to make the city better. And I understand Carolyn said, how can the city grow to another level if we don't take care of our own home? When I say our home, I mean our backyard.
And Johnson Caraway, I agree that we should invite our North Dallas colleagues. I'm not saying y'all never been there. I know me and Linda Coop have took a ride in the southern sector, and she understands transportation. I know Mitch Redenson, who was part of South Dallas. He's lived in South Dallas. He understands. I think our colleagues, we do understand the problem, but when George dealing with bureaucracy and policy and what you can do, what you cannot do, there is a stumbling block that slow down the train. And what we need to do, how do we make the train speed down the track? And that is a very, very difficult problem and process. I know Mary Sue have her hand tied. I know our city attorney has his hand tied. But one thing, the citizen hands are not tied. You as a citizen come here today, Ms. Colvin, take nerve to come up here and tell you about your neighborhood. And I remember the time that in my neighborhood, you could invite anyone to your house. You did not have to lock your door in the project. If you was hungry, you would get fed. But now, we do not even care about our next door neighbor. We don't even know our next door neighbor. We don't care what comes in our community, and we don't care what leaving out of the community. But as the city of Dallas, we should care what's going into our city and our community. And that's why we've had council to make sure we have policies, to make sure we look for the better life and a quarter life of the state of Dallas as a whole. We are trying to bring development, not in South Dallas, not in East Dallas, not in West Dallas, not in North Dallas, but the whole city of Dallas. And I see the press. I see the morning news, Channel 8, Channel 5, Channel 11. All the bad things. They talk about the city, but you need to talk about the good thing. You need to help us to make sure we are talking about the good thing. Even though we pulled up houses, there is a safety issue. The press needs to say, what can you do as a press to make sure we sell the city of Dallas? And I think I challenge you as a press to make sure you help sell our community. Because sometimes you tear our community down by speaking the wrong negative attitude and reporting the wrong news when you said South Dallas. Sometimes we don't know South Dallas, it's in East Dallas, or in Oak Cliff, or in Cleaver or Riley, it's in South Dallas. And we need to find what is South Dallas. Number one, that I'm going to be very, very brief, but Mayor, as you as a leader in the city of Manning, Mary Sloan, it's your responsibility to make sure our city is safe and up to the staff. It's up to the council to make sure our city is safe. We make the policy, Dwayne, Carolyn. We can change policy. We get sued every day. But twice a day, Mitch said. But we're going to be here. We're not going to just toot our horn. We're going to do something about it this term. Before year end, we're going to do something. Madrono Quarter Life, that's your department, your eternal quarter life. You should be spearheading the situation. What can we do now? Not tomorrow. Because we lose our kids every day. Thank you.
And let me just say one thing.
Quick, wait a minute, let me go.
And I'll be very, very quick and thank you. We got to hold people accountable. And as council members, we have to hold our staff accountable. And as the city manager, Mary reports to us. And so, Tom, you report to us.
Yes.
And I have been just, I'm trying to do the Obama and Michelle thing. We can get elbows together. But we are going to have to do something to deal with Chapter 54, the code, all the issues. And I don't want to feel like I'm the bad guy when I'm always trying to fight this issue, because it is a passion to my heart about fixing these problems. So please don't think that I'm the bad guy when I continue to try to hammer down on this stuff. So we need a deadline on what you can give us in the process. That's all I'm asking, is that, you know, we got to deal with this issue. Thank you so much.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Carolyn, for raising the issue of the connectivity between code compliance, the city attorney's office, the city staff, and our neighborhoods. Several months ago, the council adopted a more stringent aggressive approach to code and demolition. Is that correct, Mr. Perkins?
That's correct.
My question is, what have we done since, what has the manager and the city attorney done to implement that will of the council?
Well, there are a number of cases that were in litigation now that we have pled for, where the cases are, whether the properties are structurally sound, but they either are vacant or they have some of the other elements of the new additional.
Which, and the core elements are threats to public safety.
Threats to public safety, or they're open and vacant, they're a nuisance, and in the sense that, that others can go in there and use them as a harborage. We are now pleading that, and we have begun the process of charging, of including that in our lawsuits. I don't know how many we've done at this point, but we are beginning the process of using the new tool that this council voted us, and I'll get you the number of cases where we've actually pled that.
I think that's important, because I think what you hear is an outcry from several council members that they want action. Citizens want action. You know, Carolyn, as you mentioned about you not wanting to be the bad guy, you're not the bad guy. You're representing citizens and neighbors and neighborhoods trying to struggle and keep their identity. And one of the things that I found, that is the bedrock, is protecting the neighborhoods. And part of our job is to plead with the manager, and I think she's listening, and the staff is focusing, to make sure we protect the core neighborhoods. And what is eroding the neighborhoods are code issues and crime issues. And it happens every day, every night, and it's loose and aggressive dogs and broken windows. And it's all those building blocks of what make a positive neighborhood, which also create the erosion. So publicly, I can't emphasize enough, Tom, Mr. Perkins, and Mary, Ms. Manager, use the full aggressive nature of the ordinance that we gave you. In executive session, we pleaded with you unanimously, get more aggressive. Publicly, when that came for a public vote, we said, get aggressive. Be more aggressive. Be so aggressive that we start getting pushback from our citizens. Then we'll know, okay, you're on that edge. We're not there yet. We're headed there, but we need to be more aggressive. On a positive note, Ms. Davis, I've had some good positive feedback from neighbors and citizens in my district, and with Ms. Ritchie, and her aggressiveness in going after property owners that aren't being good neighbors. And, I mean, I'm amazed in my 13 months of service how many times Jennifer and I are working together on projects. And, Dwayne, you get a lot of credit for that, because you started off early saying close down some of these hot sheet hotels. So I said, you know, in my district, I've got hot sheet hotel issues. I've got structures that are eroding the quality of our neighborhoods. So I, on a positive note, Tom, your staff is very responsive, and I appreciate Ms. Ritchie's efforts. I mean, we've got, like, 7 different cases zooming forward right now, and there are more coming. But Mary and Tom, it is absolutely essential that you be as aggressive as possible to heed to what the council says we need, because that's what the neighbors are saying, that's what the citizens are saying. If we don't protect our neighborhoods in the end, we won't have the very foundation by which we say we represent. So, thank you.
And Mr. Newman, we have 200 cases in litigation right now, pursuant to Chapter 54. We've got another 100 cases or so where we've sent Chapter 54 letters to people in advising them or telling them, if you don't fix the problem, there will be a lawsuit filed. We've closed down 4 of the problem hotels. There are currently more hotels in the process.
And where are the lawsuits filed? Is it for our administrative judges that Councilwoman Hunt is leading the charge to review? Is that where it's going?
That's
district court.
They're a mixture. Some of them are in district court. Some of them are in municipal.
Because I think, Ms. Hunt, that is going to be one of the key things. I know I'm not a member of your committee, but I'm going to participate. But that's what I'm listening for, is what is it that our administrative judges are doing to be sensitive to the issue of these code issues and violations that are diluting our neighborhoods. And that's critical to me. I mean, that's a litmus test. And I hate to put it that way, but that is a very important point.
And I'm going to be providing Ms. Hunt some information that we've been compiling on some of the issues associated with that demolition document.
And hopefully these administrative judges that are also employees of this council are listening right now. because that's a criteria for me. And I know informally we've talked about that. How responsive are these judges being in making sure that, yes, we respect due process and property rights, absolutely, but not at the expense of the neighborhood? Absolutely not, Judge. I'm a big believer in due process and property rights, but I also think the system needs to work. That's what I'm just trying to do. Make sure the system works. Thank you, Mr. Perkins.
Mr. Allen.
Very quick, Mr. Mayor. These are exciting times for Dallas. Under your leadership, under the leadership of Mayor Pro Tem Garcia and Deputy Mayor Caraway, these are good times. We had an excellent year. We're starting now. We came back off a break. We've got a new year in front of us. Our last year, a lot of positive things happened. And without question, I believe at this time next year, with the leadership and the rest of this council, we're going to see a lot of changes taking place in that southern sector. And that's not to say I still have some things in my district, too. But I see a lot of good things coming. Is this council, if we do exactly the way we did last year, and we move that spirit forward this next year, no telling what's going to happen. So you've got my support.
Okay. Appreciate it. Just a couple things. It was mentioned the convenience store. We should get material out this week or efforts out from that task force, and hopefully that will lead to some of the improvements there. My sense is, Tom, that that's going exactly the right way. Police have provided valuable input as well as the community.
And I think that has been drafted at this point, and it will be coming to the council second Wednesday in August. That will be coming to the council.
Yeah. So, Tom, I think it's also important, and again, given the new regulations that were passed, that we be aggressive on those. A couple points related to that. One is we need to get what we talked about, that quarterly report that will show how many houses, how many multifamily units, hotels, and that sort of thing are in the process at any given time, because that over time will show where we end up with backlogs. Either we're not putting houses in, that we're not putting hotels in, the problems, those sorts of things, they're getting backed up in the courts. Those numbers will show very rapidly if it's not coming out of there. And I think it's also important that we be careful not to just get it off the list, but ensure that we solve the problem. By that, I mean not simply plead a fine that says, okay, you pay the fine and then it's off the docket, so to speak, but that the problem remains,
right.
That we be aggressive with your prosecutors in ensuring that we're not just settling on fines, that we're actually advocating significant improvements to those or to take them down, whatever may be the case there, too. We have taken a number of hotels down. I think it's also important, Carolyn, I know we've won a couple of cases in your area on the Board of Adjustments that will lead to some changes on hotels, motels, those sorts of things. We need to continue to push those very rapidly. And then also, Carolyn, I was also going to add Jubilee to the list of the ones that you missed. We've seen some improvement there. We've taken out some nightclubs in there. But I think it's important to get that report in. Now, how many homes do we have in litigation? It was 230. Have we seen that increase?
200?
It's a little over 250. I believe it's 264 when I ran the report on Monday.
Okay. And get that report to us, and again, the summary, not each and every one.
Sure.
But also keep in mind it's responsibility of each one of us to get you, as well as the police department, as well as this council, the listing of homes that ought to go on that list so that you can pursue them, too. That's not just your responsibility. It's each one of ours. So we need to get. Have you started to get, either from council or police department, reasonable numbers of those?
Our office has been working very closely with the police department, with Chief Brown, to compile a list of problematic properties.
So the answer is probably not, but we'll get to it.
No, the answer is that we're working very diligently with them.
But again, we need to get them, so it's not just working, but we're actually getting them.
Sure.
And getting them into the system. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. That was our fifth speaker, I believe.
You ready for the minutes? Did you approve the minutes?
Mr. Rosansky has moved it. Mr. Newman seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Mayor.
Boards and commissions.
I have a question. I didn't know this was going to happen, but I'm looking here, and I see there's a lot of people here who have signed up to speak. I know we only allow five speakers and all, and some of these people haven't signed up. Let me say, this is an issue that I've gotten several hundred emails about. These people are concerned. What about letting them speak? What about letting them speak? These are people who have come down here who are concerned about certain items. I'd love to hear what they want to say.
It'll be up to council. I can tell you right now that we've got a briefing and we've got a legal session that we've got to go through.
Mr. Mayor, I looked at this and I told my wife this morning, I think it's going to be a short meeting. Of course, I didn't know we were going to have these speakers, but I'd like to make a motion that we allow, there's two things here, that we allow an additional five speakers to speak on there's seven or eight people who signed up for Jenny and four or five on another case. I mean, these people have waited here all morning. They're concerned citizens. They have only one interest, and I'm concerned about what is being said and going around. And I'd like to hear what they have to say. I want to make a motion that we hear at least five of them.
It's been moved to second that this will advance, and then we'll put off legal sessions and everything else, so it'll be a change in it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I'll have a show of hands on the no, if I could. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on no, 7. Motion fails.
Moving forward with consideration of appointments to board and commissions and the evaluation duties of board and commission members, you have several nominations for board and commissions for individual and full council, first being Carl Raines and Charles Chick Cowan being nominated for the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission. Mr. Raines is being nominated by Councilmember Hill, and Mr. Cowan is being nominated by Councilmember Allen. Commission on Productivity and Innovation, Ricky Dunn Callahan being nominated by Councilmember Hill representing real estate. Moving down and skip the Civil Service Board adjunct members, we're not ready for that one. Landmark Commission, Joyce A. Strickland being nominated by Councilmember Hill representing historic preservation. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, Patricia Stevens being nominated by Councilmember Newman. Park and Recreation Board, Francis M. Gonzalez, being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Garcia. Permit and License Appeal Board, Melanie Lowe and Ricardo Medrano. Ms. Lowe is being nominated by Councilmember Newman, and Mr. Medrano is being nominated by Councilmember Hill. The full council appointments are Alex Salinas, being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Garcia. Housing Finance Corporation Board, David Kittner is being renominated by Councilmember Rosansky. The Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway, Carolyn Twitmire is being nominated by Councilmember Newman. Reinvestment Zone 8 Board, Design District, William Mundinger III is being renominated by Councilmember Medrano. Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, Pam Williams being nominated by Councilmember Newman. Reinvestment Zone Board 16, Davis Garden. Daniel Corky Sherman is being nominated by Councilmember Newman. I'll meet qualification. Oh, got one more. South Dallas Development Corporation Board, Stephen Adu being nominated by Councilmember Coop. I'll meet qualifications for service on the board.
If I could I take a motion on the nomination of Ricardo alone?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been moved. It was seconded. I don't think there's a conflict of interest, so you don't necessarily need to leave the room, but we'll have a motion separately so that the record will show that you're not abstaining, you're not voting. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Moved, seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Now the vote on the full.
And now the vote on the full so that Ms. Medrano will be able to vote. The record will show that.
That's it.
Yep. And that's been moved by Ms. Coop, seconded by everybody. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Thank you.
Gotcha, Ms. Mayor.
We've got one item for individual consideration from the Office of Financial Services.
Item 3 is authorize a resolution suspending the effective date of the rate filing made by Encore Electric Delivery Company on June 27, 2008 for an additional 90 days.
need a motion.
Discussion or motion?
Second.
Mr. Zinski's moved it. Mr. Caraway seconded it.
Absolutely.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
Those are all the items to vote on, Mr. Mayor.
With that, then we'll go into our briefing on Mill Creek and Peaks Branch.
Or does this need to be done? Does this need to be done?
That's right.
It's a long time.
Did you guys adjourn?
Yeah, Mr. Kadane, you had a comment earlier.
I had a comment earlier on the folks that are here to speak. Can't they speak this afternoon?
They will speak. Everybody will be given the opportunity to speak this afternoon.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
What we have is, and I appreciate the question, Mr. Rosansky, we've got this briefing, but can you give us a sense of the timing?
7 minutes, 8 minutes.
Okay, so let's say 15 minutes. Then we have an executive session. There are a number of items on there. My estimate is that will be about an hour and a half. That is only a guess, though, but estimate about an hour and a half. And then the press conference at noon. So my sense is we'll come back probably shortly after, probably in the 1:30 time frame. We'll work through lunch on the executive session.
Okay. In this briefing, I'm just going to go over some preliminary engineering on Mill Creek and Peach Branch that are funded in the 2006 bond program. Recommend a revision to the plan and alert you of an opportunity to have TxDOT funds part of the improvements. Let me start off by stating that Mill Creek and Peach Branch were once natural streams that flowed from the Mockingbird area into the Trinity River and the lower part Rock Creek. As development occurred, these streams were enclosed in pines during the 20s and the 50s. Now, the design standards at those times were much less stringent than they are today. And so as development expanded, these drainage systems became inadequate. And so we experience flooding when there is an intense or heavy rain. This is just an outline of the of drainage basins. This is Mill Creek here, and it drains into the Trinity River. This is Peak Branch, and it drains into the lower White Rock Creek. There's 75, I-30, and the Central Business District to kind of give you an orientation of what we're looking at. The next few slides are some photographs of some flooding. On May of 1995, a short but intense rain took 16 lives in the city of Dallas, and it flooded M Streets all the way to Deep Ellum. These are some pictures of the Baylor Hospital area. Baylor Hospital had to close its emergency door for several weeks and sustained over $5 million damage. These are some more flooding pictures at Skillman and Munger in the Peak Branch area that occurred in March of 2006. So what we're talking about here are two projects or two different areas, and they are Mill Creek, and the second area is Peak Branch, and they're both funded in the 2006 bond program. But keep in mind, this is just one part of a larger or many more projects to come that will be funded in future bond programs. We have four additional phases that we're planning for. There will be two more in Mill Creek and two more in Peak Branch. And again, once we're done, what we're trying to accomplish is to give 100-year flood protection for properties valued at $1.7 billion in both watersheds. For watersheds of this size, the cost for removing the flooding could easily exceed $100 million. So we phase these projects.
Okay.
Okay. So, So the projects of this size, we start downstream, and we accommodate the upper sections, and then we move on, move up upstream and accommodate those or work with those. This map shows the flooding on Mill Creek and Peaks Branch. This is a 100-year rain event. This is the Mill Creek area, Peak Branch. Again, I-30, I-75, give you an orientation of the areas that flood. It's kind of like a Doppler radar. The dark areas indicate more flooding. Yeah, you can more or less see the orientation. There's Mockingbird, and then you can see the Mill Creek area, and then the Peak Branch. So next slide, we have a suggested alignment. This is the preliminary alignment that we came up with to be able to remove some of the flooding. Remember, we start downstream, we move up upstream. So, Ms. Vigrano, Councilmember, this is the Mill Creek. This is a future phase of it. We haven't identified it yet in this. It will be in the future bomb program. And this is a Peak Branch. Again, Mill Creek draining into Trinity River. Peak Branch, phase 1 and 2, draining into the White Rock Creek, lower White Rock Creek area. Mill Creek right now we have funded for $58 million, and Peak Branch, phase 1 and 2, for $34.9 for a total of $92.6 million. This is for 2006 bomb program. Now, once we get these projects completed, this is the area that we're going to remove from flooding. And you can see from the previous slide, this is I-30. These gray areas are the areas that we'll be removing from flood using this project. But keep in mind, we're not removing Baylor, and we're not removing the Fair Park area. Now, another important part is to keep in mind is before starting projects of this size, we evaluate various alternatives before we make a final decision. We came up with 10 alignments, two for each. One for Mill Creek and one for Peak Branch. Now, we're determined that we're going to solve this problem using deep tunnels. Next picture is a pretty interesting one. Amazing, or interestingly enough, Dallas, the city of Dallas is ideal geologically for deep tunnels because of its shale formation underground. And so, therefore, the way this works is we dig some shafts 80 to 100 feet deep, and we drill through the shale. The advantages that we have by going this process is, first, we almost eliminate most of the utility relocations. The acquisition for right-of-way is a lot less, so it's a lot cheaper. There's almost no street replacement, and there's none of the traffic nightmares. Now, again, traditional thinking, we treat each system separately, but interestingly in this situation is because we evaluated both of the systems at the same time, side by side. We have come up with a recommended plan that combines both Mill Creek and Peaks Branch into one deep tunnel that goes into the lower White Rock Creek. Going to somewhat recap what I've discussed before. This is what the situation looks like today. This is the drainage area for Mill Creek. This is for Peaks Branch. Next slide. This is the slide I showed you before, which is what our plans are at Mill Creek, future ones up, going up, and again for Peaks Branch. The third one, this is a new alignment. We pick it up much further up north at Mill Creek. We pick up Peaks Branch, and we bring it all the way down to the lower White Rock Creek area. Something you've got to remember in this presentation is this area right here. Notice how we cross the I-30 at this location. It's going to become important as we continue in this briefing. So what happens when we do implement this plan, this new revised plan? Well, by looking at the flooding pictures, we remove a lot more flooding. Before, we were mostly concentrated south of I-30. Now we're going much further north. We're removing a lot more flooding from these drainage basins. And that includes Baylor Hospital as well as all Fair Park. So there's several advantages to using this new path or this new plan. One is that there's one construction project. It's more cost effective. There's more protection that goes far beyond the previous plan, and it protects 1,853 properties valued at $974 million. Another part is it avoids the Trinity River, which would have required a lengthy Army Corps of Engineer review. It's lower right-of-way costs and goes far beyond the original plan. I'm going to go over a comparison on slide 23 on the schedule. In essence, it's going to take us about a year more to do the engineering design and about 18 months more for construction. And that's because we still got to do some more work on the design part and a little bit more on the construction amount that we have to include. And so we're looking at 18 months more time period. On slide 24, the new plan will cost us $66.2 million more than this previous plan. But keep in mind, we're removing a lot more property and going into what we would have been future phases of Mill Creek. And we're doing this for overall less cost than if we had included that in future phases. Comparison of the cost. On this slide, this is the cost to remove all of Mill Creek and all of Peach Branch from flooding. Now, keep in mind, this is, includes not only these projects that we had in mind, but future projects that we haven't even talked about that we would be presenting to you in the future for future bond programs. In all, we're saving $22.5 million by going with the recommended plan, the new plan. Now, there's an opportunity to address the funding shortfall. Remember I told you on slide 18 to remember that intersection, that crossing of the stormwater and I-30. Well, TxDOT needs to address their drainage issues also. And so our deep tunnel plans allow them to work with their own drainage issues at a considerable savings. These are some pictures of some of the flooding that occurred in I-30 back in March of 2006. We have met with TxDOT, and they're very excited about our project, and they have agreed that it will work for them, and they've given us a letter of commitment seeking additional funding for the project. So why is this a good plan? It protects 680 more properties from flooding than valued at $760 million than the previous plan. It's more cost effective, it takes less time, and it protects more property than doing these projects separately. For recommendation, we're asking that Council amend the Mill Creek study to reflect the recommended plan, authorize staff to negotiate an interlocal agreement with TxDOT, and authorize a supplemental agreement that will be coming to Council in October.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Good presentation. Let's start off with Ms. Hunt. Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for this presentation. And I've talked very often with your department about Mill Creek because, as we could see by the map, this really affects a large part of the district I represent in the M Streets. And we've had serious flooding over the last couple of years that have resulted in houses being flooded, people losing a lot of their valuable property, having to spend a lot to clean up. And we have got to make this significant investment, and we did in the 2006 bond. I think this is an excellent recommendation. Is there any downside to it that you see?
Well, that's one down. Tripod.
That's right. Aside from the tripod.
You know, we're talking about the $66.2 million funding that we still need to come up with. We thought about this in future bond programs, but the opportunity with TxDOT is just, it's awesome. And they looked at the project, and they feel that they can definitely participate. So at this point, I see no downside to it.
Ms. Hunt, we see no downside, but I will suggest that you, the council, can help us. Our conversations have been with staff, TxDOT at the staff level. They see a tremendous benefit to their project They see the synergy, and they see the savings that they can accrue. I think our challenge will be to make sure that TxDOT comes through with funding when we need it. And to that end, I think the council can help us
that. Specifically, Ramon, what would you like to see us do to assist you on that?
Well, it will be at the state level, ensuring that TxDOT gets funded, and gets funded specifically for the I-30 and the piece that we need, their contribution toward our gap, if you will.
Well, I can see Councilmember Hills writing furiously because I know that she'll be working on the her legislative list is very long, but I think we'll want to be certain to add that. This is a truly a critical component of our flood protection. And the fact that we're going to be able to do Mill Creek 2, as I understand it, within the first phase of this with the help of TxDOT, I think is incredible because we were looking several years out for that. We're going to be really able to shorten that time frame. So I commend staff for being creative on this and for looking at this so carefully. It's critical to our neighborhoods, our communities, and in the protection of our properties. Thank you. I'm going to fully support this. Would you like a recommendation? Do you need a motion? How would you like
this? We'd like to bring the items back to you and get your approval in the way of the formal changes that Mr. Gasseran has outlined in his briefing. I do want to be honest. While we work very closely, I think the credit with regards to the creativity in this solution belongs to the consultant that worked on these projects.
Very good.
Mr. Jonavoy with Half Associates is present. It's their engineers that came up with this creative solution.
Very good. I had the opportunity to have their engineers come talk with one of my neighborhoods that was being flooded, and they did an excellent job explaining the problem and explaining how we were going forward, and I commend them for bringing this up. It's wonderful when we have an opportunity to have recommendations that reduce cost and bring efficiency and shorten the time frame for a project, and this is terrific. Overall, I understand we're going to save about $20 million at the end of the day.
That's correct.
And that's $20 million of taxpayer dollars that we're saving for this important project. Thank you again. I'll be fully supporting this.
Ms. Hunt, I just want to let you know that when the time comes to go talk with TxDOT, we'll let all of you know the right place and time to do that.
Thank you, Ms. Sim.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. On page 13, if we look at, I think, south of I-30, you said the Fair Point area is not part of the flood deal. Could you explain that and tell me why?
Right. There are some sections of Fair Park that we are removing, but just because of the elevation differences, there's some parts that we're not able to.
Could you identify that? Could you tell me what part so, you know, I get a clear understanding?
I don't have the full details with me.
Could you give? I'll
get you a map. I can provide one for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Jenkins. Ms. Coop and Mr. Rosansky and Ms. Medrano.
Ms. Hunt, one more time. I'm sorry, but I was looking at my math here. I didn't quite hear exactly the entire conversation. What is it that you would like TxDOT to do exactly so that I can have that on my agenda?
Absolutely. Yes, and this,
right.
You too, Ms. Coop. I think that our staff can more specifically explain it, but it's the...
go back to the
It's making sure that they're on board with a new ILA and that they're working together with us to help speed up this process as we've developed a new proposal for Mill Creek.
Okay, and it goes under I-30. Is that the question? And when they're and they're widening I-30, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they're making improvements to I-30, and you want to catch on to that? Is that the...
Right, 19.
Ms. Coop, our tunnel will, in essence, provide the means by which TxDOT can handle their outfall for a significant portion of their I-30 improvements.
Okay.
So it becomes their outfall.
Okay.
By us doing this, they save a significant amount of money.
Okay.
And their staff has committed tentatively toward contributing toward our project because they save money.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, staff has committed, but I think ultimately what we need to do is ensure that they get the funding necessary to come through for when we need to award our construction project.
Right, and I'll have to follow that. I'm not sure when that funding from the I-30 improvements are going to be. I can't off the top of my head, but Can you show me the exact, well, not show me, but tell me the location on I-30? Just some streets so I'll know.
Oh, sure. That's Haskell Street right there.
Okay.
It's around that vicinity.
Okay.
And this is the crossing of our lion that we have planned.
Okay.
And this is I-30, of course.
Right.
And this is the area that you came with a big advantage of training.
Okay. 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 Thank you, Ms. Hunt. We'll be following that along. Okay.
Super. Great. Mr. Zamsky, please. Ms. McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that Ms. Hunt made some excellent points. In addition, I think with speeding up the time and saving money, we're also protecting over 600 other properties. So I think that's really important. I see our friends from Baylor here, and I'm sure you all are on board with this. So I will fully be supporting this as well. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mr. Rosansky, please.
Thank you. Long overdue. I support this 10,000%. Ramon, Alma Haas did a plan similar to the one you have to your right, in which Jill has showed me a copy in her office a year or so ago. It's much bigger exposed to see what is going, really see what's going on. It's very difficult to see it in our book. This is long overdue, and the study that Hal did on this is just great, and the quicker we can get started on this, it's better. This is really affecting a lot of Dallas, a lot of us. What you have right there, showing on the screen there, people really do not realize what is happening in certain areas in Antwerp district and Medrano's district. I mean, I know. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And this flood we had 5 or 6 years ago, Ramon, when was this big thing?
Actually, as recently as 06, Mr. Rosansky, we had
the
significant...
No, before that. No, no.
In 95, we had a...
It must be in 96. Okay. In 06, maybe you're right. It's just... It's unbelievable, they think.
You can see Mr. Rosansky on the picture we have in the briefing.
Yeah,
95 is the big one that I recall. And then in 06, I also remember significant portions of both of these basins that experienced flooding, especially around Baylor Hospital.
And colleagues, look at this right here. And, you know, Mill Creek is an old problem to the city of Dallas. This is an old, old problem to the city of Dallas. And the quicker we get on this... And reading this briefing last Saturday morning, I think construction is going to start at 9, hopefully. Did I read it?
Would you repeat that question again?
In looking over this material that we got Friday evening, and I started looking at it Saturday, there it is. Design is going to be completed by 09.
That's correct.
And the construction award is December. Is there anything that you think is going to stop you from trying to give that contract out in December of 09? Is there anything that you see that could hinder you?
Sure. The TxDOT funding needs to be in place.
Sir?
The TxDOT funding needs to be in place for us to proceed with the construction part or phase. We're going to go ahead and start with the design phase.
Well, you know how I feel about that.
But the construction part is will be.
You know how I feel about that. We're going to start. We know we're going to get the money from TxDOT. You think?
Again, Mr. Rosansky, I have personally met and have received the letter of commitment from the district engineer.
Okay.
I think our challenge is to make sure that TxDOT has the money needed to do what they said they're going to do.
Okay. Great. Great. Great planning. I thank Albert Half and everything. Great planning, and we need to get started on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zipke, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one quick question. Could you go back to the slide that had the two bonds listing the funds together?
What page, Ron?
I don't remember what page it was. Oh, there you go, right there. The 323 and the 301 does not have the TxDOT funding in it, or it does?
It does not.
Okay, so we're then looking, if you take the recommended plan and you take the TxDOT portion of it out of there, we're talking at $240 million. Might have should have had a slide about that, right?
Well,
I just want to make sure.
We want to be optimistic,
that would be
but even without, it's a good sell, nonetheless.
No, I mean, I think this is a creative solution. In fact, maybe we ought to get the Discovery Channel or somebody to, you know, film, you know, us tunneling under all that as an innovative way to solve some urban flooding issues. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We need to move the water to the Simpsons. We need to move the water and flood water. That's right.
Mr. Tipsy, thank you. Okay. Again, we appreciate it. I think it has been conveyed by all of my colleagues. We've got a solution to a problem that's been around a little bit, but probably a lot too long. Joe, thank you very much for your contributions into it. I've worked with Joe on a number of different things. He's one of the real experts on water in this community, as well as he just proved some other areas too. So, Joe, we appreciate all your work on that. Just let me check. I think clearly you've got a consensus from this council to move forward as you're talking about, move forward as aggressively as you can. Give me a sense of timetable. When will we have a voting item on the agenda?
We'll have a voting item for a supplemental agreement in October.
Yes.
And this will be for the design portion to go ahead and proceed. So we're going to go heads up, start with the alignments, and proceed with the design portion. So you'll hear about us in a couple of months.
But you feel comfortable that you've got everything you need from us?
Based on your reaction today, Mayor, we're going forward today.
That's
the formalities will be taken care of later.
That's where I'm going. You feel comfortable that you've got a consensus to commit whatever resources you need to do today to go forward to prepare for October and then beyond. And that consensus is clear to you. Terrific. Great. It's 11:22. We will now break into executive session. I'll go through the wording in just a moment. I have met with the individuals that would like to comment on our elephant, Jenny, at the zoo. When we come back at 1:30, what we're going to do is they are going to take 20 minutes as a block. And it'll be coordinated, and they'll go through the points. To the extent anybody doesn't get a chance to speak, then we'll do as we usually do when we've got a public hearing. We'll have individuals that come in and give their name and that sort of thing. So when we come back, we will deal with all of the individuals associated with Jenny as a block. Then I know that there's a number of individuals that want to comment on the action of the Trinity Committee yesterday on the naming of the Reese Street as a street. We'll deal with that as a block, and then if there's any other speakers. So we'll do those in two different blocks. And hopefully we'll be back at 1:30. It is now 11:23 on August the 6th of 2008. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 and 551.072 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda. Leftfield Terminal Partners, LP at Albert City, Battles at All Small Community Airlines, at Fed River versus the City of Dallas. Those are legal issues regarding the acquisition of certain household leasehold interests at Dallas Mudfield with address of 7701 and 7777 Lemon Avenue, including the exercise of eminent domain if necessary. J. Cooper versus the City of Dallas, the DCA Appeal Group versus the City of Houston, City of Dallas versus D. Hale Hall et al., Dallas Area Rapid Transit, in the name of Joe A. Lewis, and Joe A. Lewis versus the City of Dallas, Sylvia Nohemi versus Umberto Huerta, and City of Dallas, City of San Antonio, Texas, on behalf of itself and all other similarly situated Texas cities versus hotels.com. What I'm going to ask that we do is we'll begin the executive session in this room. We'll go until 12 o'clock, and then we'll adjourn to go to the press conference. After the press conference, then we'll reconvene in the lunchroom, grab lunch real quick, complete anything else that's on that legal agenda, and then be back in here for the public session at 1:30.
At 1:30, Mayor.
At 1:30. So, Tom, if we could go ahead and go to the executive session now, we'll clear this room for you, and you can just begin. Go ahead and begin our afternoon session. As I mentioned, we've got two groups that are focusing on specific issues. One is the zoo issue, and then the second is the street renaming. What I'm going to ask each of those groups to do is take 15 minutes. 15 minutes in total, and if there are other speakers that have not had a chance to speak at going beyond that 15 minutes and they just simply want to put their name in the record, that would be more than acceptable. With that, let's turn to the zoo issue, and I'll make some initial comments first, and then we'll have the speakers, and then I know Mr. Meadows would like to speak. I'll let him do that last. I want to make it clear on the zoo issue. And everybody I visit with, as I mentioned to the people in the audience when we had a chance to meet, everybody is concerned about Jenny, and that's the terrific thing, is everybody's kind of focus is on the elephant. I think that's terrific. I want to make it clear, it's kind of been positioned that there's a binary, there's an A and a B option. That's not accurate. The zoo people, who are extremely qualified, and we're very fortunate to have very good people that lead our zoo. We've seen a significant increase in leadership there. And really seen some good things happen. They are continuing to look at options. They're looking at options that I've requested. They're looking at options that Mary Sum has requested. And they're looking at options that Paul Dyer, who heads up our Parks Department, is requesting too. So there's still an awful lot of work that is continuing on that. And again, I want to assure people, Jenny is the first priority in this. We also want to make sure that we're doing the right things for the Dallas Zoo and for the people of Dallas too. But I want to make it clear that the options that people have looked at, there's going to be other options on the table, hopefully, and those are being looked at and analyzed now. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Mr. Mayor, did you want the rules read at all on this particular
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
We'll just go 15 minutes, and then I'll come back to you with the rules when we go to the individual speakers. We'll just go 15 minutes here, and then...
And those persons that did not sign up in the city secretary's office that are speaking on the issue of Jenny, then please, our staff is going to bring you some cards to complete, so they'll be a part of our record. So if you did not sign up in the city secretary's office, we need you to complete cards that we have. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe?
We only took the first five. That was it this morning. So their name will be called this afternoon after the two major items.
And as I said, if we go 15 minutes and there's other individuals that just would like to get their name on the record, they'll be more than welcome to come up to the microphone and just say the name and say, I support X or I'm opposed to Y, or just one sentence to limit it. So with that, I'll turn it over to you if you don't mind.
My name is Margaret Morin, and I'm the founder and organizer for Concerned Citizens for Jenny. We are a grassroots Dallas Fort Worth Citizens Advocacy Group. We're not associated with any national group. We're completely independent and here in Dallas. And we're bowing to Mr. Leffert's request that we organize in this fashion. We appreciate his help. So I'm going to call our first speaker, who is Barbara Wolf Anderson.
Thank you, Margaret. Honorable Mayor and members of City Council, before I begin, I would like to present you with a signatory letter on behalf of an array of zoo and elephant professionals. Thank you. My name is Barbara Anderson. I represent almost 20 years of professional elephant management, both as a keeper in AZA institutions as well as a former primary caregiver for the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. I'm here today with deep concerns regarding the recent decision by the Dallas Zoo to send the African elephant Jenny to African Safari Park in Mexico. Jenny has a history of very aggressive and violent behavior. She also has a memory of the past experience in free contact, a method of elephant management. The concept of free contact is to break and dominate the psychological and emotional spirit of the elephant so that it can be managed. This includes physical abuse and frequent beatings. Jenny's psychological and emotional health has been and is of great compromise. The Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee currently houses three African elephants on their 300-acre property of their 2,700-acre total property and are in a position to accept Jenny today. They're highly specialized staff at the sanctuary with no less than 80 years collective experience. They're able to meet the specific needs of each and every day and each and every one of their charges individually. They specialize in psychological and emotional rehabilitation. I can personally say that I've been involved in this primary caregiver. I've been a primary caregiver for the sanctuary for over 2 years, and I'm a witness to the psychological and emotional growth and healing that occurs with each and every single elephant that has made the move to the sanctuary where they can live out the remainder of their lives. And that level of care begins as soon as that elephant steps onto the sanctuary vehicle, which will take it to its new home. These changes are nothing less than phenomenal. So you and the Dallas Zoo, this is an opportunity that can be available to Jenny. In my professional opinion, the effects of the horrific events of Jenny's past are still with her. Elephants who resort to displaced aggression and harm others or themselves are not psychologically sound and need to be very specialized lifestyle. You folks in Dallas are very proud of your city, and many are proud of your zoo. I implore you to allow the Elephant Sanctuary to give Jenny the opportunity to express her true nature and help her develop skills and acquire knowledge to evolve into a viable member of the African herd that is waiting for her. Love Jenny enough to allow her to know what it means to be released from her physical and emotional confinement. Thank you for your time.
Our next speaker.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is Les Schobert, and I've spent almost my entire adult life in and around zoos, most of the time with elephants. I was the general curator at the Los Angeles Zoo and the North Carolina Zoo, and I was an active professional member in the AZA, and on many instances served on many important committees there. During my tenure working with elephants, I've done just about everything that you could do to an elephant. I've fed them, watered them, rode them, trimmed their nails, trained them, did elephant shows with them, transported them, beat them, imported them, medicated them, and necropsied many of them. As we learn more about these wonderful creatures, we begin to have more insight into their intelligence and psychological needs. There's no doubt in my mind that the trauma that occurs to these elephants and the horrific things that they witness does not go away. As with people, this trauma manifests itself in different ways with different individuals. It is obvious to me through her records and discussing her situation with other elephant experts that Jenny is extremely sensitive to changes in her life. Jenny's life has been filled is a tragic story of a severely traumatized elephant in captivity. The Dallas Zoo is about to make another change with her, a huge life change, one that will affect her every way, in her every way. And that is to move her to another captive situation with new caregivers, new surroundings, new foods, new smells, new sounds, and certainly new companions. It is imperative that she be given the utmost care during this transition. I firmly believe that the Tennessee Elephant Sanctuary has the experience necessary to ease Jenny into her new life. Tess, the Tennessee Elephant Sanctuary, has the most experience of accepting traumatized elephants of any facility. If there's any such thing as an opportunity for Jenny to heal, it would be at Tess. Tess is the right place, and if there is compassion for those who have served over 20 years in service to their community, she certainly deserves to go there. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, we need to give you your address for the record, too.
Okay. You want the whole thing? La Quinta, California.
That's fine. Thank you.
I'm Margaret Morin, and I live at 2200 North Crest Drive in Plano, Texas. I'm the founder and organizer for Concerned Citizens for Jenny. Most of my members are Dallas residents and have a long history with Jenny. I'd like to just make a brief statement, as Mr. Leppard has asked us to do, so the rest of the people here will be making brief statements. I ask Concerned Citizens for Jenny, official position is we ask, we urge, we beg the City Council to transfer Jenny to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums is only an industry trade association. Its standards are minimal and voluntary. It cannot be used as the template or the guideline for where Jenny goes. Since the standards are minimal and voluntary, for instance, the minimal and voluntary standards are that the AZA only requires 1,800 square feet of living space for a full-sized elephant for his entire life, his or her entire life, and that's about the size of a three-car garage. In the wild, elephants wander 30 miles in a day. This is what causes the tremendous health problems of elephants. In addition, AZA member zoos have been cited and fined numerous times for elephant abuse. In the recently broadcast show on 2020, we viewers witnessed the horrific beating of a chained elephant by a handler at an AZA zoo in El Paso relentlessly beat this poor chained tethered elephant who could not move away from him, relentlessly beat her with a rod over and over and over again. You had to look away. It was so horrific. But that animal had to stand there and take it. That was an AZA member zoo. AZA provides no protection for these animals, and we ask City Council to recognize that and do not use it as a criteria for where Jenny goes. Please send Jenny to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. Our next speaker will be Jamie Benfield.
State your name and address, ma'am.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Jamie Benfield. I reside at 5408 Victor Street in Dallas. That's District 2. I ask the mayor and city council to overturn the Dallas Zoo's decision to send Jenny the elephant. I'm sorry.
No problem. You take your time.
In favor of sending her to the elephant sanctuary in Tennessee. AfriCamp is a drive-through safari. AfriCamp is a drive-through safari, and Jenny's medical records indicate that she is afraid of motorized vehicles and loud noises. So to send her to a place where she will encounter cars on a daily basis would be inherently cruel. Elephants are extremely intelligent. In fact, they are one of the only species other than humans, apes, and dolphins that possess self-awareness. They are very social creatures and do not fare well outside of a herd. I'm so sorry. We have come here today for your help in getting Jenny to her herd in Tennessee. She will be able to roam freely, to sleep in the soft grass, and to be a part of the family again. Undoubtedly, many zoo officials hope that we will lose steam or our momentum, or that we will become discouraged and give up. But you should know that we are firm in our resolve, even on crime. We are not a radical group. We are husbands and wives, family, friends, and neighbors. We are the people of Dallas, and we are asking you for help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Obviously, we have people who deeply care about this situation. Our next speaker is Beverly Terry.
I'm Beverly Perry. I reside at 1200 Main Street, District 14. Thank you, Angela Hunt, for all your work. Thank you. You've never seen my face here before. Never. Even though I live on Main Street, you've never seen me here. There has never been a cause that's been so dear to my heart. And I can tell you I've never been in an organization or on a campaign, but now I find myself involved with Concerned Citizens for Jenny. Not only with that organization, but I've now founded a subgroup of that called Concerned Professionals for Jenny. We are in agreement that captivity is the cause of Jenny's problems and not the cure for Jenny's problems. If you are perplexed at why all of this emotion is happening and why there's such a huge move in the city and now in the nation, then I encourage you to go check out the movie Free Willy. And watch the part when they release Willie into the ocean. If that doesn't capture your heart, that raw emotion that that scene elicits, that is what this move is about. We feel that the sanctuary in Tennessee is Jenny's ocean. And we can watch her from an elephant cam. It's a real story. It's not a movie. We can watch her from the elephant cam, and we can see her live her life in freedom, knowing that we, the citizens of Dallas, are responsible for that. This move is a move that goes beyond race. It goes beyond religion. It goes beyond gender. It goes beyond economic background. This is a move that goes to the heart. And I can tell you, for that reason, we will not stop calling. We will not stop writing. We will not stop emailing each and every one of you, because our conscience will not let us. So I am begging you, on behalf of concerned citizens and concerned professionals, please intervene and free Jenny. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Liz Mosesman, and I live at 5561 Martell, District 14. And I'm here to urge the Dallas City Council to please retire Jenny to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. Jenny is a special needs elephant, and only the sanctuary can meet her needs. There they specialize in the rehabilitation of troubled elephants. The AZA deems that elephants in captivity live only 33 to 34 years of age. So wherever Jenny goes, it will be for the last few years of her life. She deserves to live those years in peace and safety, away from noise and people, and in the company of other female African elephants, roaming there with over 300 acres. No other place in the United States can do that. So please send Jenny to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. You may ask, what difference does the fate of one elephant make? And I'm here to tell you, Mayor Leppert, City Council, that it will make all the difference in the world to us. Thank you.
My name is Dorothy Phillips. I live in Dallas in District 14, and I support Jenny's transfer to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Michael Bodner, and live in Dallas in District 14, and wanted to say that I'm firmly in support of Jenny going to Tennessee. Primary reason, we're talking here about our concern for Jenny, and the comparison that we need to make is the mission of the two places that are being given primary consideration. On one hand, we have AFRICAM, whose primary mission is the is making a profit and taking...
I'm just going to interrupt there. I interrupted earlier, and I know there was one speaker that took a little bit longer. Why don't you take 1 minute?
Okay.
1 minute.
I don't have 1 minute. May I finish, please, Margaret? And the comparison of the missions is AFRICAM, that is a for-profit organization focused on the people who are going through their park, as contrasted to the Elephant Sanctuary, whose primary mission is the care and rehabilitation of elephants. So that's the thing that we need to keep in mind.
Hello, I'm Tara Dahl Rubin, 4600 Courtyard Trail, Plano. Thank you for having us here. At the Elephant Sanctuary, Jenny will have over 300 acres to roam and be with other African elephants. And she'll be able to be herself without the intervention of humans. She will never have that at any zoo. Jenny has spent her life before the public, the last 22 years serving the citizens of Dallas. That's longer than any person on the city council. She deserves, like any other city service person or servant, she deserves to retire in the peace at the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. Thank you very much.
In conclusion, we want to say that no zoo can give Jenny what the Elephant Sanctuary can give her, and we urge that only the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee be the option that Jenny is afforded. No other solution will satisfy. Thank you.
Now, is there anybody that didn't get a chance to speak that would simply like to put their name on the record? Please go ahead. Yeah. Why don't you stand up, simply give your name and address, and then allow the next individual to come up.
Hi, Melissa Martinez-Farago. I'm at 502 Valencia, Dallas.
Thank you.
Ann Lincoln, 6118 Woodcrest, Dallas. Judith Jolly, 175 Moonlight Drive, Murphy.
Kara McVane at 4340 Skillman.
Kathy McVane, 10016 Medlock Drive, Dallas, Texas.
Tanya Sewell Pattis, 2009 Pebble Beach Court, Richardson, Texas.
Monica Samaria, 2115 PV Road, Dallas, Texas.
Myrna Bishop, 2904 Lindbergh, Dallas, Texas.
Tommy Bobo, 2525 Bolton Boone, DeSoto, Texas.
Trudy Hess, 16816 Davenport Court, Dallas, Texas, District 12.
Alessandra Walker, 6262 Lakeshore Drive, Dallas, Texas.
Catherine Chang, 6165 St. Moritz, Dallas, Texas.
Sheila Goldstein, 2200 West Park Boulevard, Plano, Texas.
Linda Forsyth, 363 Link Island, Duncanville, Texas.
Charles Hess, 16816 Davenport Court in Dallas, District 12.
Winna Webb, 17201 Hidden Glen Drive, Dallas, Mr. Dutinsky's District 12.
Jennifer Sellers, 1609 North Yale, Richardson.
Patricia Walker, 5256 Richard Avenue, Dallas, Texas.
Gail West, 616 Claiborne Lane, Wiley, Texas.
Bill Betson, 6717 Cliffwood, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to speak on another issue later, but I believe in this one too.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry to see other members of the City Council didn't come back, but we'll be back next week, and we hope they'll be here to listen to us then. And Mr. Leppard, may I call you later? He said, speak to you for a little bit. I'm going to have to go back to work.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you,
sir. We appreciate each one of you being with us. Let me introduce Michael Meadows. Michael, I think you wanted to make a couple of comments, too. Then we'll go on to the next issue. Michael heads up the Dallas Zoological Society. Michael?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, council members, for the opportunity to address you. I am here on behalf of the Dallas Zoological Society and was asked to read the following letter. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your longstanding support of the Dallas City Council for our Dallas Zoo, and particularly for the great progress made in partnership with the Dallas Zoological Society over the last 2 years under the leadership of Zoo Director Greg Hudson. Thanks to the vision and commitment of the City Manager Mary Soom, Park and Recreation Department Director Paul Dyer, the Park and Recreation Board, and our Dallas City Council, our zoo has one of the nation's most widely respected and effective zoo directors leading this wonderful institution. Mr. Hudson came to the zoo with over 20 years of experience running zoos, including the Fort Worth Zoo and the Cincinnati Zoo, two of the best in the United States. Since Mr. Hudson's arrival, the Dallas Zoo has made great strides and is poised for an extremely bright future. As the city's partner in supporting the Dallas Zoo over the past 53 years, the Dallas Zoological Society has also had the opportunity to personally observe closely the animal care as well as the entire management team that oversees the zoo's operations and programs. Our experience leads us to the conclusion that our zoo has an outstanding group of individuals who consistently and continually place the interests of the animals in the zoo's care first. The current concern over determining the best course of action for the zoo's elephant, Jenny, is a matter about which there can be honest disagreement among persons of goodwill. We have every confidence, however, that the dedicated professionals of the Dallas Zoo are in the best position by virtue of training, experience, and intimate knowledge of Jenny herself to make the best decisions for her welfare. In this regard, Mr. Hudson and his staff have our unqualified support as they work through their decision-making process. We are confident they will make the right decision for Jenny. Very truly yours, Don M. Glenn Denning, Chairman, Board of Directors, Michael L. Meadows, President of the, and Chief Executive Officer. And this letter has been also signed on by 53 of the 59 board members that we collected over the last 24 hours. A pretty extraordinary response, given that they only had 24 hours to respond, and this is vacation time. Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it, Michael.
Mr. Mayor, I think we have an additional speaker, Stephen Fitz. Your last name is spelled Betson. Yes, and I don't think he's with this.
I'm not with the organization.
Okay.
All right, my name is Stephen Betson. I live at 2621 Gibbs Williams Road, Dallas, Texas, in Dave Newman's District 3. I came here today to talk about Jenny and the future of the large land mammal exhibit at the Dallas Zoo. I taught science for 4 years, and I currently own and operate a successful business with my wife. As a business owner, I've learned to see the opportunity to distinguish yourself within your market, and Dallas is presented with such an opportunity regarding the elephant exhibit. We can choose to send Jenny to a zoo-like, another zoo-like facility and maintain the status quo, or we can partner with a recognized sanctuary with 300 acres for her to roam with three friends. Our opportunity begins when Jenny's retirement begins in Tennessee. As a former science teacher, I realize the need for our zoos to become more educational and to better address the needs of the animals that they care for, and we are making some progress here. We can redefine large land mammal exhibits as dynamic and educational and set the Dallas Zoo apart from other zoos, giving tourists a reason to make the zoo a part of their Dallas experience. We can have live video feeds from the sanctuary that project onto a wall showing Jenny and her friends and their daily routines better reflecting their natural behaviors. A life-size replica of an elephant that kids can touch can be in the middle of the space with full-size elephant footprints trailing behind it that they can stand in. Interactive educational material around the exhibit will explain the physical and social needs of elephants and how they are being met in Tennessee and how they are even better met in the wild, underscoring conservation, which is at the core of the zoo's mission. This kind of exhibit can help zoos better fulfill their educational, ethical, and conservation responsibilities. As a landlocked zoo, Dallas is presented with unique challenges that require unique solutions. An interactive elephant exhibit fits the bill and can be a great marketing opportunity for our city. This can be paid for by a corporate sponsor and donations. We can fulfill our mission of conservation by moving beyond a zoo solely based on the presence of live animals. Sometimes the best way to fulfill your vision is to step out of the box and to be a leader. We can do that now by setting the pace and taking zoos into the 21st century. Thank you for your time. If you have questions, I'd be more than happy to clarify.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know that you're going to be with us next week, too. And again, thank you for being here, but and also your patience, too. As I mentioned, we think of this as binary. It's not. There's additional work that's going to go on, so I appreciate your interest in this. Now let me pull...
Mayor. Ma'am.
Please. Paul.
May I ask a question from you, please? By the way, colleagues and people who, I don't have a dog in this hunt at all, so I'm looking out what is best for the animal, Jenny, and what is best for Dallas and all. When I first read about this, I really thought Angela has gone off on the deep end. As usual, but I won't say that. But I do want to say that the emails that I'm getting on this, Paul, you know, at first I just shrugged this off, but the emails that I'm getting about this and about, I'm concerned about Jenny, but I'm concerned about our zoo and what, you know, I've received maybe 150 emails on this. These are emails that are not orchestrated, where we get emails that are the same context but just signed by different people. These are different emails. You know, in business, believe me, I make a lot of mistakes, and I discover it, and then I try to change that. Do you really feel that we need to revisit where Jenny goes? Do we need to take another look at this? Because I think there's a lot involved here for Jenny and for our zoo and for a lot of people. Are you going to revisit this and take a strong...
Mitchell, I'm going to jump in here. I don't think it's a question of revisiting. I think it's been made clear in a number of situations. Paul, especially Greg Hudson, Michael Meadows, are continuing to look at options at this. So this isn't a revisiting. It's a continued effort look at all the options that are available and try to craft options that are going to make sense for everybody.
Well, to me, that's revisiting. It's very simple.
There hasn't been a decision made. So until a decision is made, you can't revisit.
Is it etched in stone, this is where Jenny is going to go?
It is not. We've made no decision, and as the mayor said, we're still involved deeply in the process of evaluating the best decision for Jenny.
Well, that's what should be involved. What is the best decision for Jenny? As I said, I don't have a dog in the hunt. Of course, that's not a very good pun to use.
No,
I really shouldn't, but what I've heard in this letter that I received from today, these are very signed by very strong people in this type of business, but I really would like for the city of Dallas to take another strong look at this. And I really think a lot of people, when they take a look at it and they discovered maybe they did not see everything, and we do need to make a change. But I really would like for us to do this. Did you actually visit the sanctuary in Tennessee, or any of your staff?
I have not, no sir.
Is it something, because it wasn't an AZA affiliate, is this the reason why you did not consider it?
I haven't visited any site. Mr. Hudson has visited both sites, and that's part of the evaluation process. He's been to Tennessee, he's been to AFRICAM, and again, those are two of a number of options we're pursuing at this point.
Okay, and I want to apologize.
There's a number of options.
And I do want to apologize. Mr. Hudson is with the city of Dallas and with the Dallas Zoo.
That's true. He is the Dallas Zoo director.
And I want to thank the gentleman who spoke up here and all the work all the volunteers do for the Dallas Zoo. This is not against anybody. I'm looking out after what is the best for the animal. And if a decision was made that might have been not, I'm trying to be very careful. We need to take another look at this. And I wasn't around back then, but there were two wonderful songwriters in the United States back in the 20s called Burt Calmer and Harry Ruby. They wrote a tremendous amount of songs. One of them, in fact, they made a story of their life into a movie about 40 years ago called Three Little Words. And there's a song in there, I Want to Be in Tennessee. I don't know if anybody ever heard that. He goes, I want to be in Tennessee in my Dixie paradise. I won't go after that. I'm not going to, last night I saw, my wife and I saw the Jersey Boys, and I'm sure not going to try to follow that, but let's see what we can to do the best thing and bring this to a close.
I
have a lot of things. Angela, thank you for bringing this to my attention. At first, I thought you were a little nutty, but
I will jump in on behalf of.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Mitchell, Mr. Zancy, I'll jump in on behalf of Paul and Greg and Michael, because I had conversations with all of them. They are very much concerned with Jenny. And
sure.
They are continuing to work on this, and they're going to do the right thing. We're very fortunate
and what
to have
the citizens of Dallas think about.
And we are very fortunate to have the leadership that we do at the zoo. We have now what I think people in the industry would say are clearly one of the top five leadership teams in this nation, and we are very fortunate to have them. We've got a zoo that's on the rise.
We are fortunate to have them. Thank you, Mayor.
Another fun issue that comes up, I think, Steve, though, you're a little bit older than Jenny, unfortunately, but nevertheless, another birthday is coming around. So with that, we are not going to put you out to retirement. We want you to stay here, but we do want to celebrate a birthday. So, Sheffy, can I turn it over to you? I think we're getting ready very quickly. I think you got to do a tap dance for just.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, Steve. Terrific. Now, let me, as we go to the next one, there were earlier a number of speakers that were signed up that wanted to address the street renaming. Go ahead, Angela. Ms. Hutt, please.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to say thank you for the way that you handled the last group of speakers, and I appreciate the way that you're handling this group of speakers. I've noticed a real change in this administration, the way that you've handled the folks who come down to speak before us, and I appreciate that. I think it's very respectful to the time that our residents have, and I think you're to be commended for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Same here, Mayor.
Appreciate that. Now, there were a number of speakers that had signed up that wanted to speak in regard to the renaming of either industrial or, however you want to put it, identifying a street to be named Cesar Chavez. If you're still in the audience, and I know we're a little bit beyond 9 o'clock this morning, could you just raise your hand? Okay. Why don't we do this? Since there's just two, then why don't we call the two of them just for 3 minutes as speaking, and then we'll go on to our other speakers.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we'll follow through in that way. The first speaker, is that Mr. Benson? Alberto Ruiz. Okay. If you'd come forward at this time and state your name and your address for the record, Mr. Ruiz. You have 3 minutes to speak and state your name and address, please.
My name is Alberto Ruiz, R-U-I-Z. My address is 1520 North Beckley Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75203. Good afternoon, members of the council and Mayor Tom Leppert. Obviously, I'm speaking about the Ross Avenue issue, the changing of Ross Avenue to Cesar Chavez. Just as the city council is a reflection of the people of Dallas, this initiative to rename Ross Avenue in honor of Cesar Chavez is a reflection of the culture of Dallas. Each of you has received a summary of our grassroots initiative and have begun receiving opinions and criticism for the leadership that was shown by the Trinity River Project Committee during yesterday's vote on this issue. We commend the TRP's sense of urgency because we believe that Dallas deserves Cesar Chavez Avenue, and we have developed a task force that is dedicated to fulfilling this objective and, beyond that, organizing volunteers to assist in maintaining and improving the area along Ross Avenue after it is renamed. In the coming weeks, you will have a choice to marginalize the value of this debate by giving in to the misinformed naysayers and postponing the cultural progression of Dallas. You also have the option to become an advocate who understands the value of this proposal and to vote to recognize our diversity in this city. Cesar Chavez was a master organizer who dedicated his life to fighting for social justice and farm workers' rights from California to Washington, D.C., and from Texas to the state of Michigan. Cesar Chavez said, "We are tired of words, of betrayals, of indifference. The years are gone when the farm worker said nothing and did nothing to help himself. Now we have new faith. There are strong, that through our strong will, our movement is changing these conditions. We shall be heard. But what good is a voice that falls on deaf ears? So I call on you to listen to yourselves in the road ahead, not to be led to hesitation and indecision by the jingle of pockets who never have their fill, or to be discouraged by the timid souls who never know victory nor defeat, but who only uses those tools toward the wrath of criticism and hate in order to spoil an opportunity for peace and solidarity. Take time to listen. I mean really listen, before making a reaction to this idea of change. This council holds the key to a social progress. This council holds the key to an opportunity for social progress or to create a conflict out of the goodwill of this renaming effort. I urge all those present to learn more about this initiative to rename Ross Avenue in honor of Cesar Chavez and what it means to the Latino community. Because what we could achieve by this council showing its true leadership is a greater understanding and respect for all of the people in this city and its true culture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bill Benson?
Yes. There is a handout that is coming to you right now. I'm not going to be reading that handout, but I do want you to have it to refer to as I speak. My name is Bill Benson. I'm from 6717 Cliffwood, Dallas, Texas, Mr. Atkins District. And I'm here to speak about the dropout rate in Dallas. It is the biggest problem you're facing as a city. This morning, y'all talked about a lot of good things in South Dallas, all over our city. They're not going to happen if we don't start graduating more than 50% of our kids out of our high schools. And that is the problem. If you will look at that chart that I just gave you, on the back of it where there's all these bar graphs, the one bar graph right in the middle is Dallas ISD. Each one of those bars is the enrollment, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, all the way through senior year. The very last bar is the number who actually get diplomas. If you will notice, 56.2% of the ninth graders are missing. This is an average of the last 11 years in Dallas. It's not a fluke. It is the average of the last 11 years in Dallas. Yes. And it is bad. And we need to tell the truth about how bad our dropout rate is. And we're looking at raw ninth grade numbers and raw 12th grade numbers. Last year, the graduation rate in Dallas was 41%. 59% of the ninth graders from 4 years ago were missing. That's the bad news. I'm here to talk about good news. I happen to be on the Cesar Chavez Task Force. The reason I am is we discovered 4 years ago at Quintanilla Middle School that if you give children an opportunity to record their own history and put it in a place of respect and talk about their future and develop some pride in their own culture, they stay in school. It works beautifully. We have a 450-pound vault bolted to the floor in the lobby of our school. We took the guts out, put 10 shelves in it, and we have them numbered 0 through 9. And our 8th graders, the last week of 8th grade, and I know they're going to do this all the time because you can't walk through our school without seeing the vault because it's right in the middle of the lobby. And you know before you leave school, you're going to write a letter to yourself talking about your life, what you have done, where you come from, and where you're going to go to. And the kids write this letter the last week of 8th grade. Then we have a beautiful all-day-long ceremony, a series of 22 ceremonies, actually, because we have 22 language arts classes. They pose in front of the vault, holding the letter. We take their picture. They line up, and one by one, they put their envelope on the shelf. They know it will be there for 10 years. Here's the real catch. They also they get a copy of that picture, and on the back, it's explained to them, in 10 years, you're going to be invited back to our school. We want you to come back, open the vault. You'll get your letter back. But then we're going to ask you to volunteer to speak to our 8th grade classes and tell them your recommendations for success. Warning, you've got to prepare for one question from these kids. They're going to ask you, would you do anything differently if you're... Would you do anything differently if you were 13 again? And that's the question we want them to dwell on while they're in middle school. All the years they're in middle school, they dwell on that question. The best news of all, Pinkston and Sunset Middle School now have 11% more kids in the 10th grade than they've had in their history. The numbers are going up. That's the very last chart at the bottom of the page. Look at how the numbers are going up. We need to do that in every single high school in Dallas. And if we can talk about history, if we can put Cesar Chavez's name on Ross Avenue, if we can help our students respect their own history and heritage, it will happen. Thank you.
And Our next speaker is going to be Lawrence Elliott. Lawrence Elliott. Leonard Hatcher. Linda Turner. Dorothy J. Mayfield. Please state your name and address, Ms. Mayfield, for the record.
My name is Dorothy J. Mayfield. Well, I'm an evangelist. My address, 1818 Clarkson County. What I wanted to say, I was concerned about some issues over at the bridge. Well, I grew up down here, actually. And I've been in and out for like 25 years over at the Day Resource Center. And then I've been visiting at the other one for like about a couple of months. And, well, really, there's been a lot of problems over there. And I don't know, this is my first time, you know, coming here to this meeting and everything. And what I'm just trying to say is that... Well, my parents had got murdered, and that's how come I ended up down here. That's when I founded the Day Resource Center. And there was some, like, complications going on. But the same thing that's going on over at the DRC when happened at the new one, too. You know, people picking at you, drugs, trying to get you involved with them and stuff. And, like, I have a clear record. I'm not trying to get involved that way. And, well, my dad was a minister. His name was Reverend C.J. Mayfield, and he got robbed and murdered behind drugs and stuff, alcohol, stuff like that, too. So now what I'm trying to do is found housing and stuff, and they, you know, some of the caseworkers are real bad and stuff, and they won't hardly help you find a good housing and stuff like that. And anyway, I just ask you all to pray for me, that the Lord will help me with housing and everything. I'm supposed to be going to court to see about my dad's estate, but nothing, I haven't heard nothing yet. So, but anyway, I really don't like that bridge, but I just ask you all to pray for me and that I get housing and everything, or maybe the Lord will do something like open up something, I don't know, because my dad's church and house, his estate and stuff, got robbed, so like I say, I don't know what the judge gonna do at this time. But anyway, I'm asking for prayer and everything, and this nonsense has to be stopped, you know, or else I can just, you know, I really want to move away from that place real bad, but I don't have any choice right now, you know, until the Lord says something different. So.
What, ma'am, what is it over here, right here? What is it that you're having problems with when it comes to the bridge? Are you living there now?
Yes, ma'am. Well, basically, the same thing that happened over at the DRC at the old one, I grew up over there, like, off and on for, like, about 25 years, and I got my ministry degree. And also, I'm working on my master's and associate. What I'm saying is, there is no homelessness anyway. There's no such thing. You know, people are taking advantage of the system. That's all it is. You know, and it's hard for the ones that's really, really trying and really, really doing good. But I'm sure that if God fixed one thing, He'll fix another. He delivered me from a lot of things. You know, I was 21 years old, and I'm 50 years old today. You know, I'm a living witness that there is no such thing as homelessness. But the people that's trying to really get help can't get help because of this, you know, so many drug people out, drugs and alcohol, you know, that's overpowering the good people,
you
know.
What do you say some of the problems? You mentioned that there was some problems. What do you say some of the problems? Not enough beds?
Well, it's some of the clients and it's some of the workers, too. They're rude and disrespectful to our people. They don't really help you. You know, you'd be looking for funds to come in to get help, like for housing and stuff. And it never shows up. Either they steal the money or something happens, you know. Like, we were real, real cold for Christmas. And, I mean, it was just terrible. And it was a lot of things going on with the old one that's going on at the new one, too. You know, sexual harassment, predators, molesters, you know, you're scared for your life. You know, a woman, being a woman, you know, a single woman, you know what I'm saying, you're scared for your life. And my parents was in an accident, and I'm over my dad's estate, but I haven't heard anything at this time and point. And right now, I'm having some medical problems.
Okay.
I'm trying to get that straightened up so that I can go back to work and everything, because I'm also associated with Mary Kay. I've been in that club a long time, and there's just some things I want to get straightened out, and the devil has been real busy.
Okay.
You know, but like I said, there's no such thing as homelessness. There, you know, I don't get nothing free. I didn't get nothing free. You know, it just seemed like the ones that always had a hand out is the ones always getting, but the ones that's always working and doing good, it seems like we get a hard time. You know, guys giving you caseworkers and stuff and people disrespectful, rude. I'm not used to that. I wasn't raised like that. My dad and great-grandparents, they taught me yes ma'am or no ma'am. You know, respect, you know. And there's no such thing as homelessness. You can do, but most of the people I've seen over there taking advantage, stealing stuff like clothes. Suppose I want to get up the next day and go to an interview, you know. There's no clothes or nothing. It's always stolen or somebody stealing or taking it to purchase, buy drugs and stuff like that, you know. So it's been really rough, but I don't know. Right now I'm off work and everything. I'm just searching and seeing what the Lord want me to do next.
Okay.
You know, but like I said, I obtained my degree over there, and I did real good. I'm in college as well, but I can't go right now because I'm trying to, you know, get things straightened out. But anyway, I just asked you to pray for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Our next speaker is Roy Harmon. Roy Harmon.
My name is Roy Harmon. I live on Royal Avenue in District 2. Good afternoon, Mayor and the City Council. My name is Roy Harmon. I'm a 100% disabled vet, and I'm here as a volunteer and a member of the Texas Tenants Union, a nonprofit organization that educates tenants on their rights and helps them resolve rental housing problems. The Texas Tenants Association provides information by phone to thousands of tenants each year, publishes written materials, and holds weekly workshops every Wednesday night, and have done that since the 70s. In fact, the union has helped me 5 times in the past few years. It's taught me what to do and what I need to do, and given me all kinds of assistance. Their teachings taught me how to contact 311, and as a result of that knowledge, I was able to contact them 2 weeks ago, and Channel 11 came out and photographed the problem in my apartment complex and made it a major issue, and it got fixed. Many cities have funds of this type of service through the Community Development Block Grant, such as Austin, Boston, and Cleveland. In 2005, the City of Dallas provided $15,000 for tenants' rights education from the CDGB Fund. The Texas Tenants Union was awarded the contract and fulfilled the terms with good reviews from the city staff and the auditor's office. All these reviews are included in the small packet that I've given y'all. Unfortunately, just a few months later, they were contacted and wanted the council voted against for the next year. When the council voted on August 5 against funding the tenants' education, it was for the amount shown of $515,000. It's not clear that this extra $500,000 or $500,000 was a typo in the minutes, or that the council actually thought it was saving $500,000. The contract was only for $15,000. I've also included this documentation. Okay, yesterday afternoon I was very politely informed by people here, at least 5 people called me and asked me about my situation. They did a great job. They helped me and were really good at getting back to me. And I'd like to thank all of them, and Ms. Madrona as well as her assistant. I would just like for y'all to reinstate the Texas Tenants funding. It's $15,000, not $515,000. And if y'all just go through the packets in a couple of minutes. Okay? Thank you very, very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for our service to our country, too. Appreciate that.
Our next speaker, Gwen Wooten.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Wooten. I don't think nobody in this city loves this town more than I do.
No, I do.
Nobody. And as far as Ross Avenue, I think it should be named Pancho Mandrake. And Yagogil Chavez, Canada Drive. He was buried at the cathedral. That was the Hispanic community. And I think his name should be on Ross Avenue. That's the end of that. Last year I came down here and I told y'all Rock George Robinson was mauled to death by dogs. I had a meeting with Mr. Caraway. And everybody has been listening to me talk about this woman getting eaten up by dogs. And I come down here and y'all talking about shelters for dogs and housing for elephants and all this ridiculous stuff. I don't understand. Why don't you have some way that this city knows who's being eaten up by dogs? This woman was 87 years old. A member of Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church, missionary. Works for the Fair Park. I have not heard one response from nobody here. That's ridiculous. Last year, Mr. Mundron, I don't know if you got... I asked for turn lanes on Ross Avenue, Libel, Gaston, and Columbia. Y'all got red light stop signals. Those are busy streets. When those people come through the community, you cannot make a turn until it turns red. And you need turn signals on those streets. You need housing for poor people in this city. And I don't want to live in Oak Cliff. I told y'all that. I'm not from over there. I'm from over there off Ross Avenue. And I want to live over there. And I don't care enough about no rich folks and y'all been in this city for millionaires and billionaires that ain't here. They can't pay no taxes because we in more debt now than we ever been. So that tax incentive thing ain't working. And you told out all them houses in Thomas Avenue except for those you gave away for a dollar. And drugs don't make houses bad. Put them out the house, redo the house, sell the house for a dollar for these people who need housing, and let them rehab the house. Because when you tear out them Jews' houses, they come back at that land for $1,000 and build a mansion on it. So they're going to make the city tear down the houses so they can come back to Forest Avenue, Forest Lane, Meadow Street, Meadow Lane, Park Avenue, Park Lane, and build a community and run black folks. I want to live in DeSoto. I want to live in Dallas. My ancestors built this city, and I want something done about poor people living in the inner city of Dallas. That's what I want, and I'm going to keep coming down here, and I don't care about you laughing and thinking it's funny, because it's not. I want to live in Dallas, and I love this city. That's why I come down here every week and tell you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Rusty Norman. Mr. Norman. Leslie Allen Davis, Jewel Floyd, Jerlene Holland, Mr. Kushaw, Diana Rollins.
Diana Rollins, 1541 West 4th Avenue, Corsicana, Texas. There is no air monitor anywhere in Nevada County, Texas. Something wicked this way comes. Why something happening south of the city of Dallas should be of interest to the Dallas City Council. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. I was born in Dallas in 1947 and lived here until I married, and I now live in Corsicana, Nevada County, Texas, just south of the state-implemented Clean Air Plan, which includes the interests of the city and county of Dallas. Several years ago, Tarrant County came to Nevada County and impounded 44,700 acres of land to make what is now Richland Chambers Lake. The purpose, we were told, in Nevada County was for Tarrant County to have water for its future growth, citizen, and business use. Now Tarrant County has said it will sell water to two power plants if the city of Corsicana does not do so. So Corsicana wants to make the money, and since the water will go away anyhow, the city has decided to sell to the two power plants so they can have the revenue there and not have it go to Tarrant County Water District. The two plants proposed to use an amount of 16 million gallons of water a day at peak use is now proposed. Calpine is another new gas-fired power plant on the south side of the lake that also uses 9 million gallons of water a day. I have heard that another power plant is looking to locate at Trinidad, and another third coal-fired unit has a permit before the TCEQ for Jewett, Texas, as we speak. Please remember, because of the available amount of water in Richland Chambers, if these plants locate, others will likely follow. If a careful watch is not kept, it is possible that a huge amount of pollution will enter the SIP area from Navarro County for the first time and join the pollution of the Ennis, Texas power plant in contaminating the air both of Dallas County and the city of Dallas. The point is, this pollution is all blowing into Dallas. The two newly proposed plants in Navarro County are less than 30 miles from the SIP line. The people of Navarro County plan to take both plants to a contested case hearing. I would ask that the city of Dallas seek affected party status because of its inclusion in the SIP and the proximity of the new plants. The status would either be granted or denied by the TCEQ, and asking for status will not cost the city any money. If status is granted, the city would be privy to all the communications between the lawyers and parties and could read everything and would be able to sit at the table at the contested case hearing. However, at any time, the city could ask to be released from affected party status and remove itself at no financial burden to the citizens. This would place the city of Dallas in position to be at the bargaining table. However, there are certain time limits, and if the city fails to request affected party status and later decides there are problems that would affect the city will have lost its rights to speak on the issues. The Pin Oak Creek facility is past its first 30 days of public comment, and a draft permit is expected to be issued soon, and the city could apply for affected party status at that time. The Navarro Generating Center permit is within its first 30-day comment period at this time. I am asking the City Council to have its Pollution Committee study this matter expediently, and I recommend that the city seek affected party status so that it can represent itself and possibly the other SIP counties in this matter. That's two more paragraphs. The power plants have significant toxic emissions which will impact the state-implemented clean air plan that has been imposed by the state of Texas on Tarrant, Dallas, Ellis, Rockwall, Denton, and other counties. It is my understanding that no emission figures from these plants were included in the recent SIP agreement. Both the Sierra Club and State Representative Lon Burnham have expressed extreme concern about the continuing buildup of power plants south of the SIP counties. Both have written letters of protest and concern on the Pin Oak Creek site. I urge the City of Dallas to join in that concern and to protect its citizens and future industrial development opportunities by obtaining a place at the table for the contested case hearings on both of these proposed facilities. I have placed my personal information below and would be happy to accept phone calls and take meetings with any of you who have concerns about this matter. The two local citizens groups, People United for the Environment and Citizens Opposing Power Plants, will be happy to speak with and work with any interested parties. Thank you so much for your time. I've been on the City Council. It's been a long day, and I appreciate your attention.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Joe, could I?
Yes.
I'm kind of going to go to you for. Could you do some checking and maybe just drop a note to me? Anybody else would be interested. Maybe hook up with Laura and just see what the situation is, where we stand, and kind of get some thought from you on where we should go.
All right, I'll sit down and wait for you then. I won't go
anyplace
till I hear
yep.
from one of you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Our next speaker is Deborah Gibson. Deborah Gibson. And, Mr. Mayor, we had several speakers on the renaming of Ross. Martin Garza. Did Mr. Garza come in? Ray De Los Santos.
I think we already went through that.
Robert. Okay. Yes, sir. That's all of the speakers that have signed up to speak, Mr. Mayor.
We appreciate it. We are adjourned. Thank you very much at 2:35.